in the meeting for today. Welcome all. Let us begin with our invocation, and then Ms. Coop will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Lead us in our invocation is Pastor Ryan Jesperson, who has been the pastor of Grace Temple since 2006. Prior to that, he was on the staff of the Oaks Baptist Church in Grand Prairie. He graduated from Dallas's own Dallas Baptist University and Bachelor of Arts at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in 2004 with a Master of Divinity. Pastor Jesperson is married, got two wonderful girls, and is a proud resident of Oak Cliff, Texas. It's great to have you here, Pastor, for this important week for our Christian and Jewish brethren throughout the city. Let us rise and bow our heads. Pastor Jesperson.
Pray with me if you would. Father, I come on this morning, on this beautiful day as we celebrate this season of Passover, when you freed your people from Egypt. And we thank you for the wonderful holiday that is. And we thank you for the fact that you have given us that to be able to celebrate. Father, I thank you today for these men and women who have chosen to serve on this city council. They could be doing so much more advantageous things or easier things for themselves, but Father, they have chosen to serve you in this way. And so I thank you for them dedicating their lives to public service. And Father, I thank you that even though I may or may not agree with them on every issue, they may or may not agree with each other on every issue, you have appointed them to this position. And so because of that, Father, and because of your command to pray for them, I do this morning. I pray that through their constituents, the city staff, and their colleagues, that they will be guided into the right decisions for this city. I pray, Lord, that you would, when they are in your will, give them great success. And when they are not in your will, Father, you would graciously guide them back into the place you would have them to be. Be with each of these men and women. Bless them. Bless their families, their spouses, and their children, as they must spend so much time away from them. And draw each of them close to you. Father, also this morning, we would be remiss if we did not lift up our police and fire personnel as they spend each day protecting us. Father, be with them. Protect them. And Lord, I thank you that as hard as these precious folks work, and as smart as they are, that according to Scripture, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, ultimately, Lord, this city government rests on the broad shoulders of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray today. Amen.
Thank you. Ms. Medrano, I think you have an announcement.
Thank you, Mayor. I hear that we are calling all Trekkies on Saturday. We are. All Trekkies. We are attempting here in Dallas, in conjunction with Pollard Banknote out of Canada, to break the Guinness Book of World Records of having the most Trekkies. We have to break 1,100 world record right now of having the most Trekkies in one place. And we're going to gather at 10 o'clock this Saturday at the Dallas Convention Center. And we have to surpass 1,040 uniform representative in attendance. And so we are going to, there is a link, we will send it to you, of the uniform that we have to have. And so we hope that all of you can join us and definitely pass the word, because this is This is going to be a pretty exciting time. William Shatner will be with us on Saturday. And so the Star Trek movie is coming out in April. And so there is they're rolling out a Texas lottery ticket themed with Star Trek. And they're rolling it out here in the city of Dallas and at the convention center. So we hope that you all join us. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank
and everybody
you.
Gets a pair of ears.
Yeah.
I got it. I got it. I feel like a...
can anyone do the Vulcan?
Yes. I feel like I'm a star
All right.
I'm a star in Big Bang Theory or something. So.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano, for that. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me just say one that... we had a gentleman that was very well known in our city that passed, and I read his obituary this morning and just wanted to publicly acknowledge the passing of Spider Bynum. Spider would always eat at the Old Mill Inn. He was an attorney, but he was well known and well renowned in the boxing world. And in fact, he was the boxing commissioner over the whole United States here in Dallas, so he's based here. But anyway, Spider has passed on. While I'm segueing into boxing, let me just take this opportunity. Tanel, you know, I thought about knocking you out, but
like Mr. Carraway.
You need to gain some weight.
I need to gain a little bit more
weight.
Right.
I'm a little too fast for you.
Yeah. Tanel and I, we are making sure that folks know we have some promoters in town. And I want to take advantage every opportunity we can that we can promote a good event, but also that's taking place at Fair Park. And we didn't know a lot about it that was taking place, but it's a big fight. So I'm going to pass this around, pass it over to the mayor, and we'll get him out of the and pass those this way, and then we'll pass them this way. But it's at the Fair Park, here you go, Monica. It's at the Fair Park Coliseum, and it's next Saturday. And the promoters, if you would, if y'all just were staying, so folks can know that they chose to come to Dallas to promote the fight, and it's our responsibility to make sure that we know and we welcome these guys in town and be very supportive of what's taking place at our Fair Park. I'm not going to go all of them to the card, but feel free. I'm passing these around. I want everybody to know the fight is next Saturday, April 6th, and it's at our own Fair Park Coliseum. They have 7 bouts on the card. And certainly, I'm going to be in attendance. The Deltas are going to be in attendance. They're sitting there. Tiffany has said it. Our park board, she's going to be there as well in attendance, and we're going to all be there, okay? So we'll get a chance to say something in a little bit because I'm already kind of out of order, but I just wanted to make sure that you stood up and we promoted this fight and let folks know it's next Saturday. I'm going to be there, and Tanel and I are going to get in the ring, and we're going to duke it out. And then the winner will take on the mayor. So Mayor, we're going to get in there and see what we need to do, okay? All right.
Thank you. I will come with my ears on.
You come with your ears
on. Thank you. We will take our morning speakers. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your beginning speakers begin with Bobby Sanders, James Murphy, Marvin Crenshaw, Christina Marie Fishback, and Cedric Moses. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, or while attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. You will need to state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, your first speaker is Bobby Sanders. Bobby Sanders will be followed by James Murphy, Marvin Crenshaw, Christina Marie Fishback, and Cedric Moses. May begin.
Good morning, Mayor Rawlings, City Council, and City officials. I'm Bobby Sanders, President of Dallas Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. Our address is 1401 South Eckerd Street. And I stand before you on behalf of 400 plus members in our chapter and over 300,000 members all over the world to move our social action agenda forward and highlight two of our major national priorities. First, we applaud you, Mayor Rawlins, for your activism in bringing nationwide attention to our growing issue in the Dallas community of domestic violence. We have heard the increasing number of 911 calls and news of women being murdered and victimized by their spouses and former partners. Every 9 seconds, a woman in the United States is assaulted or beaten. This must stop. This much-needed conversation should continue until there is an end to this endless crime. We, the members of the Dallas Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, extend our support, experience, and resources to you in every effort to eradicate domestic violence. We join you in this fight, and we charge you to leave a seat at the table for Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, to participate and serve in vital roles in the prevention of violence against women. We understand that domestic violence is a growing epidemic and has had far-reaching effects, not only locally, but globally. We recognize that no one is immune, and most of us have loved someone who has experienced this horrific act. Secondly, we charge you to take a stand in support of gun control in our city. Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated supports tougher background checks and the elimination of assault weapons being used, sold, or transferred to individuals for use in criminal attacks that result in large-scale losses of life. As mayor and members of this city council ponder the issue of gun control, we encourage you to remember that our children are our future and to reflect on the horror in Newtown, Connecticut, the recent news of the failed attack on the Central Florida campus, and the increase in crimes involving assault weapons being possessed by those for no legal purpose. The Dallas Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority will join you in developing strategies to protect our children and communities, and would like to continue the discussion on the need for gun control. This year, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority celebrates 100 years of service worldwide, and our chapter celebrates 89 years of service to the Dallas community. We have had a long-standing partnership with the City of Dallas and look forward to that partnership continuing. We are here to express our concern of protecting our women, our children, and our communities, and to seek justice for all. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your next speaker is James Murphy. James Murphy, not present. Marvin Crenshaw. Marvin Crenshaw will be followed by Christina Marie Fishback and Cedric Moses, as well as Joanne Rome.
Good morning. Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. To the mayor, the council, and to the listening audience, after 33 years of being an advocate for the people here at City Hall, I made a decision because of health reasons and other reasons to get back. 26 years of running for Dallas City Council from 1983 up until the year 2009, I felt that I'd given enough, and that I feel that if I don't get out of the way, that it stops future leadership from coming. But lately, I've been involved in two situations. I had to do it from, you know, bed, but my mother is 87 years old, 87. There's an ex-former city council person that, because I would not get involved in a car theft, that the grand jury indicted someone, has attempted to intimidate my mother, and which my mother is not a person to be, not going to be intimidated. Last Tuesday, after talking to this person through texting, the person got mad at me and said, "You need help." I said, "No, you're the one that needs help. You're the one that got indicted by the grand jury for car theft." That person stated that she was going to call the FBI and the Dallas Police Department. I said, "Go ahead." So I get up every morning. I take me a long walk. I got up. I was, had taken my walk. I was on my way back, and I saw two police cars parked in front of my house. So I just circled the block because I wasn't sure, you know, what was going on. And I was on my way out to my mother's anyway. So what I did is I went on and I got on a bus. And I was going out to Camp Wisdom and Polk. And I get a text from this person stating that, Marvin, we're just here to help you. I've called crisis, the crisis management team, I guess with the police department, stating that, you know, you, relative, you're going to do harm to yourself. And so I later listened to a message on my phone, and I got a call from a sergeant, Officer Jones, stated, Mr. Crenshaw, we're outside, and we want to, you, a relative has called, and want to make sure that you're okay. I mean, I'm on the bus. I'm not even home. But anyway, then that person called me and said, Marvin, we're just trying to help. I said, look, that's not going to work. You know, you missed your chance. Then that person said, well, I'm going to talk to your daughter. She goes down to my daughter's job, harassing them, stating that I know your father's training you to assassinate me. And my daughter just, you know, what's going on? I mean, you know, what's wrong with you? And so I know your father's training you to assassinate me. And just hassle them for a while until my daughter finally told her, can I get 30 seconds?
Please
my daughter finally told her that if you don't leave, we're going to have you arrested. And I think these type of things should stop. With senior citizens, I'm a senior myself now, but my mother's older than I am. And I'm willing to file a complaint if that's necessary, but I want to just basically state that the police department is being used in the wrong
Thank
manner.
You. Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
For 2 hours. I wasn't even there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Your next speaker is Cassina Marie Fishback. Ms. Fishback is followed by Cedric Moses and Joanne Rohn.
Good morning. I would like to say good morning to Mayor Rollins and all of the Dallas City Council members. My name is Castina Fishback. I would first like to give a huge, huge thank you to Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Tanel Atkins and 979 The Beat and the Dallas Public Libraries for providing me with an incredible opportunity that I will forever be grateful for. I was able to compete in the teen essay contest, What It Takes to Be on Fire, which was inspired by Alicia Keys' song, Girl on Fire. When I was writing this essay, I had no idea how much it would really impact my life. Alicia Keys has inspired me throughout my life with her songs and her image. When I got the news that I had won first place in this contest, I couldn't imagine what it would be like to meet such a phenomenal woman. On Sunday, March 17th, I went to the Verizon Theater where I was able to experience this unremarkable moment. Miss Alicia Keys is truly beautiful inside and out. She had a way of making me feel very comfortable with her warm smile and not the least bit starstruck. I had informed her on how I had won the essay contest based on her song, and she was very pleased to hear this and asked to see my essay. I just so happened to have a copy of it. She told me that she couldn't wait to read it and that she might even have to tweet about it. Me being a teenager who is very involved in the social media world was thrilled at hearing this idea. Sure enough, the next day I received a tweet from her. She thanked me for the wonderful essay I wrote and told me how much she loved it. The first thing that crossed my mind was the fact that Alicia Keys actually read my essay, which contained my thoughts. This is a moment that will forever be remembered. Growing up as an inner city kid, it's hard to find motivation and inspiration away from all the peer pressures that we are trying to stay away from. If there are more opportunities like this one, kids will strive to accomplish great things. These are things that can forever change their lives as it did mine. They just need to believe that it's possible. Being recognized for a great thing you've accomplished is the best feeling in the world. I hope more children are given this opportunity to feel this great feeling that I am still feeling today. And then I have my essay right here, so I'm going to read it. I titled it Unquestionably on Fire. It takes a lot of strength, courage, and ambition to be a girl on fire. These are some of the most important characteristics that a girl living in this female in this time period can possess. We live in a society where morals have been shattered, adolescence has fatally become adulthood, and the unheard of becomes a new normal, and standards are almost unheard of. If a woman can overcome all these tribulations thrown at her, she is unquestionably on fire. Morals are beliefs concerning what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. Nowadays, anything has become acceptable. Premarital sex, prostitution, pregnancy, gangs, violence, and underage smoking and drinking are all topics that can now be heard in the typical conversation of teenagers. They are tortured with the desire to give in and engage in these activities. If a girl can live by her morals and resist the peer pressure, even if it means standing alone, she is unquestionably on fire. Adolescence is a period in a life where a girl is transitioning from being a child to becoming an adult. It is a time of growth and innocence. Nowadays, that chance to actually grow can be rushed, and the period of innocence is often taken for granted. Female teenagers are forced to handle way more responsibility than they should have to. A broken home causes a teenager to step up and play the role of the that was taken away, whether it's mother, father, or both. She's often forced to get a job to help out with bills, miss important high school functions to babysit little siblings, and make tedious decisions that can affect the life of herself and her family. If a girl can turn this into a motivational force, she is unquestionably on the fire. I've been on this great earth for 16 years. I've dealt with many obstacles, more than a teenager should be faced with, yet I still remain with a smile on my face every day. I know that I have a great future ahead of me, and I refuse to let meaningless things ruin that. I will be successful because I have the brains, confidence, and determination to do so. I am a girl who, with the strength of my faith, family, and mind, will never give up. I am unquestionably on fire. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that wonderful inspiration. Mr. Atkins.
Yeah, Mara, you know, it's a great thrill and opportunity that when you have someone on fire, especially our young women today, we started this essay contest to kind of help the Mara with education. You know, we always talk a good game, but can we write a good game? We got to learn how to write and express ourselves. And that's why we started this essay contest. This will be the ongoing thing with the Citadel, with our library. Her essay will be posted throughout our 28 libraries. There was a second place and a third place there also. There was over 251 essays was entered, and she was number one. Not only with Ms. Fishback, she is number fifth in her class out of over 100 students at Skyline, and I know Mr. Carraway is going to say something because he said all great people come from Skyline. She already made her mind up, and I try to take her, trying to make her go to SMU, but she's going to UT, University of Texas in Austin. Her sister at UT at University of Texas in Austin. Her mother's there. Would you please stand up and get a wave? And
very nice.
And Kamisha Smith with 97.9 The Beat, who helped promote this also. But, you know, the great thing about it, Mara, you know, sometimes we, not in the city of Dallas, and this was at another place in another suburb, but Alicia Keys said in her tweet, "Dallas, we had so much fun last night. Big love to the city of Dallas." So therefore, you know, we're getting pub everywhere. You know, the movie Dallas, but also Dallas is growing. And long that we get opportunity back to the team, we all going to be the great city, Mayor. And also, thank you very much, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
And mine will be short, Mayor. Mr. Atkins took care of it. I just wanted to make sure it was clarified that she attends Skyline High School in District 4, and the number one high school, and just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that. And to her mom, you're to be proud. To the radio station, thank you. To my frat brother, Kappa Alpha Psi, thank you for everything. But most important, I want to thank you, Tanel, for your leadership with this and help providing the opportunity for her to go backstage and have a conversation with Alicia Keys. That's leadership. And that is what the future holds for young ladies and young kids like this. So I want to thank you personally. Now, I was there too, and you didn't take me back there. I want you to know that. To meet Alicia. But we're going to let that slide, all right? But look, congratulations. Thank you, Tanel, for your leadership.
Thank you, and thank you again, Christina. Appreciate you being here. Next speaker.
Your next speaker is Cedric Moses. Cedric Moses will be followed by Joanne Rose.
Good morning. My name is Cedric Moses. I'm the CEO of Pooh Prince, Texas. Last year, I attempted in a series of council meetings to educate the council on how Pooh Prince could help the city. You needed projections, implementation procedures, which I supplied in order to make a decision on using biotechnology as a tool to generate revenue for the city. You've made national headlines since then with a double murder behind Pooh Prince in the city of Dallas. Stalling on this particular situation is not going to solve the problem. Helping code enforcement department by providing them with tools to enforce the law will. Assisting your Trinity River Stormwater Department decreasing the high concentration of dog waste being found in the stormwater runoff will also help. Helping animal services with more proficient ways to regulate, collect pet registration and renewal fees will also help. Help your citizens feel safer that all the pets are being screened properly by animal services. Stop allowing people to feel a false sense of entitlement by allowing them to think that the law would not be enforced. Now you have citizens acting as judge and jury and even executioner in some cases. I would rather pay a fine than pay with my life. Pooh Prince will help the environment and increase revenues and make the dog registration process more efficient in several ways. The following compliance laws are going to be directly impacted by Pooh Prince. Section 7-4.1, which is the vaccination of dogs. Section 7.4.2, which is the registration of dogs. Section 7-3.2, which is sanitary conditions of animals. These are the city's jobs. These are not the jobs of property managers and property liaisons. You have several billion-dollar multifamily firms right here in your city using my product. They use very diligent due diligence process in regards to making me compliant with their offices. Explain to me how private sector industry can use my product, regulate, enforce, and make profits with current public policy. Code compliance laws that you wrote here in the city. I can't understand how this is happening. Make DNA registration part of the pet registration process. Everyone will then know that every dog that you see has to have the proper shots. Everyone will promote responsible pet ownership. Stop wasting taxpayer money on monthly pooper scooper companies and people picking up behind pets in city parks and streets. At least make money when you are picking up behind these pets. Stop spending thousands of dollars on installing cameras and operators to watch people who allow their dogs to poop. Taxpayer money by watching other dog owners poop is frivolous. Help stormwater department in regards to spending less money on screening all the poop in the stormwater runoff. I am asking for a briefing for the entire city council, as well as amending the law on section 7-4.8, the pooper scooper law, and increase the fine limits from between $25 and $100 to now $250, which is actually being mandated by all of my properties here in Dallas. Making Pooh Prince DNA analysis part of the pet registration process will eliminate this in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Joanne Rohn. Joanne Rohn, not present. Reggie Ruffin. Mr. Ruffin will be the final speaker this morning. All remaining speakers signed up will be called in the afternoon.
Good morning, City Council, Honorable Mayor Rawlings. I want to especially thank Mr. Carraway for inviting me to this forum. I attended the domestic violence rally this past weekend. I was very moved and inspired by the enthusiasm that was going into the campaign to eliminate domestic violence. But one of the things I felt that was missed out in the rally was the fact that domestic violence has only had one face and has had only one side of what has occurred. Domestic violence is a very serious and very horrible act to commit. And one of the things that I feel that has been overlooked is the fact that at certain times there are women who also abuse the system of domestic violence because they're also trying to gain power control, which is one of the things that motivates domestic violence. I think that for us to move forward, we need to change the face and perception, because domestic violence carries many faces carries many social climates and everything. Domestic violence is not just a big, large guy who got the tank top, wife beater shirt on, who's complaining about being laid off his job, and then he takes his frustrations out on other people. Domestic violence is sometimes perpetuated as a woman trying to get the last word in an argument, and then she calls the police, knowing that the police will automatically take their side as opposed to what the man does. I myself, being a victim of domestic violence, have seen that side as well. The perception of the large black man who is obviously a threat, and the assumption that he must have been the one that done it. I have been accused twice of those accusations. I did get exonerated, but because of it, my reputation is the one that's been ruined. When you do a background check, they no longer look at what you've been convicted of. They look at what you've been arrested for under the assumption you must have done something wrong. And what I had done the first time that this had happened, I was defending the home that I was sharing with my parents at the time, and then the whole thing just went into a mess. But once you've been accused of that and other people know about it, they go after that. And what I'm asking for is to ask for our city council and also, you know, also our police department to be more open-minded about making accusations, because once you accuse someone of some things, their reputation, you can't get that back. And your name, you cannot get that back. So I'm asking that we step forward and take the initiative and go further on our campaign. So I thank you for your time, and you all have a blessed day.
Thank you very much.
That concludes your speakers this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Davis.
Mayor, thank you so much. This is not on the agenda, but I would like to give a shout out to, and they're going to be coming down here to one of the briefings. I'm going to get with your office to get it on the schedule. The Great James Madison High School won the National Basketball Championship. And so I am very excited. So if they're listening, I want to congratulate James Madison High School for winning the National Basketball Championship in South Dallas. So some great things are going on in that community. So they will be coming down, and I will be giving them a shout out personally with their coach. And so I'm very, very excited about that.
We would love to entertain them. It was a great year for them. Mr. Carraway?
Yeah, Mayor, and I just add on to Ms. Davis. They won the state championship. I think it was 4A. And when they come, well, then I'm going to make sure that we have pizza and a big celebration for them. So we'll kick that in, and we'll turn up the notch. In fact, we'll just have a parade right here at City Hall, inside of City Hall. We'll go through all of the hallways and on every floor, and we'll parade with Madison. We'll have a parade right here inside of City Hall. How about that? All right.
Mayor,
can we move approval with that, Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you. We're going to have a parade for Madison right here in City Hall.
Thank you. All right, let us go to our voting agenda.
Your voting agenda begins with approval of minutes of the February 27, 2013 City Council meeting.
We have a motion and a second. Any edits, comments, additions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Your consent agenda consists of items number 2 through 35 and addendum items number 1 through 4. Agenda items number 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 were deleted on the agenda.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Got a motion and a second. Any discussion on the consent items? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 36. Agenda item number 36 is appointment to boards and commissions. For chair and vice chair appointments, you have Neil Sleeper to the RZ17 Transit Oriented Development Board, nominated as chair by Mayor Rawlings. Rawson Thibodeau Goodall to the Cultural Affairs Commission is nominated as vice chair by Councilmember Hill. Lois J. Lilly to the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board is nominated as Vice Chair by Councilmember Hill. For individual appointment to the Judicial Nominating Commission, Andre L. Turner is nominated by Ms. Councilmember Carraway. To the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board, Crystal N. Armstrong, with business owner in the South Dallas FP area qualification, is nominated by Councilmember Carraway. For full council appointment, you have to the Reinvestment Zone 17 Board TOD, Neil Sleeper as a registered voter, nominated by Mayor Rawlings. And to the Reinvestment Zone 18 Board, Maple Mockingbird, Gene Hargrove is nominated by Councilmember Cadane, also as a registered Dallas County voter.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to, you do have three eminent domain agenda items. Agenda item number 37 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Diane S. Lacey, William L. Odell, Melissa Ann Orr, Nancy Lynn Orr, Patty Tesman Ray, Diane Tresman Slayton, Montel O. Tesman Jr., and Jerry G. Tesman approximately 122,319 square feet of land located near the intersection of Langdon Roads and Miller's Ferry Road, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, maintenance, and use of the Southwest 120 96-inch water transmission line pipeline project. This item does require a record vote. Is there a motion?
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
You may.
Okay. Hearing none, let's vote.
You may vote. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Hunt, Margolin, Davis, Hasso, Carraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Member Alonzo, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Council Members Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Council Member Hill. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 38 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Diane S. Lacey, William L. Odell, Melissa Ann Orr, Nancy Lynn Orr, Patty Tesman Ray, Diane Tesman Slayton, Montel O. Tesman Jr., and Jerry G. Tesman approximately 28 acres of land located near the intersection of Langdon and Miller's Ferry Roads, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, maintenance, and use of the Southwest 120 96-inch water transmission line pipeline project. This item requires a record vote. Is there a motion?
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, let's vote. Record vote.
All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Hunt, Margolin, Davis, Hasso, Carraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Member Alonzo, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Council Members Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Council Member Hill. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor. Agenda item number 39 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Laszlo 3 TX1 LP approximately 34,000 square feet of land located near the intersection of Market and Corbin Streets in City of Dallas Block 27, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, maintenance, and use of the West End Plaza project. This item requires a record vote. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm sorry. Record vote. Thank you.
All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council members Hunt, Margolin, Davis, Hasso, Caraway, Allen, Poop, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmember Alonso, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Councilmember Hill. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
We proceed now to your addendum individual item. Addendum item number five is an ordinance amending ordinance numbers 28938 and 28939 to change certain election day polling locations and certain early voting locations, dates and times for the Saturday, May 11, 2013, general and special elections. We did have one additional change come in since this item was downloaded into your agenda system. The Veterans Admin Medical Center has been replaced as an early voting location in Dallas County by the Paul Lawrence Dunbar Lancaster Keys Library, 2008 East Keys Boulevard, Dallas, Texas, 75216. And this location will be a standard early voting location.
Gotta make a motion first.
We had a motion.
Yes.
Mr. Caraway.
Second in.
We have a second. Any discussion? Mr. Atkins. Mr. Atkins?
No.
Okay, Ms. Medrano.
Just a question. In reviewing the, I guess it would be the election judges, I did see someone that is deceased. So I'll get with your office so we can replace that person. Thank you.
Thank you. Addendum item number six is a resolution authorizing a joint election agreement and election.
We need to vote on that.
Well, I need to read it into the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you already did. Okay, please read it, and then we'll take the motion. Excuse me.
Addendum item number six is a resolution authorizing a joint election agreement and election services contract between the City of Dallas, Dallas County, and various other jurisdictions within Dallas, Collin, and Denton counties for the conduct of a joint election to be held on Saturday, May 11, 2013.
We've got a motion, a second. Now, any other discussion?
Hearing. Did we vote on that first motion, Mayor?
On addendum five?
We didn't vote.
I apologize, Mr. Mayor. It's okay. Addendum five that did require the vote. You were correct.
Okay. Let me back up. We're doing it. Item number five, it was read into the record, I thought it was, and we had a motion and a second. Ms. Medrano asked a question, then we need to take a vote. Okay, so let's go back to that item. We've got that motion and a second still stands. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Now we've read item six into the record. Okay. With that, I will take a motion.
We have a motion, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, seconded by Council Member Caraway.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Addendum item number seven is a resolution approving the appointment of citizens to service election judges for the May 11, 2013 joint election and the June 15, 2013 runoff election, if necessary.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number eight is a resolution authorizing the mayor to appoint an ad hoc city council canvassing committee to review the returns of the May 11, 2013 general and special elections and submit a canvass report to the full city council on Wednesday, May 22, 2013. The mayor's proposed appointments are Mayor Pro Tem Pauline Medrano to serve as chair, Councilmember Linda Coop, Councilmember Angela Hunt, Councilmember Ann Margolin, and Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Tanel Atkins will serve as the alternate.
We've got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
On addendum item number nine, Council Member Grayson does have a conflict of interest and will remove herself from the council chamber. Addendum item number nine is a resolution designated an absence by Council Member Sandy Grayson as being for official city business.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 10 needs to be considered collectively with afternoon agenda items 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, and 57. Therefore, it will be held to the afternoon and read at that time. Addendum item number 11 requires I read the following statement into the record. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Addendum number 11 is authorize a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement pursuant to Chapter 380 of the Texas Local Government Code in accordance with the city's public-private partnership program with SLF3, the Canyon TIF LP, supporting the proposed canyon development at the southeast corner of Interstate Highway 30 and Westmoreland Road, Dallas, Texas, 75225. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. Do we have a motion, Mr. Griggs?
Move approval.
Okay. We've got a motion in 2 seconds. Okay. Thank you. Ms. Davis.
Can Ryan come up, please, and call Z? I would like to get some understanding. Is this 11, 12, 13, 14, 15? Oh, this addendum. Is this addendum item? Addendum. Okay, 11. Okay, so it is not. Okay then. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you so much.
No problem. Any other questions? Hearing none, we have a motion in 2 seconds. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your items this morning.
All right. Thank you. Meeting recess and meet back at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Thank you.
Recess at 9:54.
Thank you. It's 1:02 p.m. on March 27th. Dallas City Council agenda meeting will reconvene. And we'll take up this afternoon's items and one item from this morning that we postponed till this afternoon. Ms. Rios, I'll let you read the consent agenda in the record.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your zoning consent agenda items are items number 40 and 41. Those will be read into the record. Item number 40 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for residential and church uses on property zoned Plan Development District Number 78 and an R-16A single-family district on the north side of Lyndon B. Johnson Freeway between Ridgeview Circle and Hughes Lane. Item number 41 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1836 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property zoned in RRD1 Regional Retail District with a D1 liquor control overlay on the southwest corner of West Keys Boulevard and Marvin D. Love Freeway. We do have one individual signed up to speak on agenda item number 41, and that is Edward Bianchi. Edward Bianchi. Mr. Bianchi, if you would please come up to the podium. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, and you will address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Mr. Bianchi has spoken. It'll be open to the rest of the public. Thank you. You may proceed.
Begin. All right. I'm here to speak on behalf of Christ for the Nations Institute, which is located within the overlay of the Shell station that's applying for the renewal. We are a 3-year post-secondary Christian college. It's located there on Keast between 67 and 35. We have approximately 1,150 students, and we have always tried to maintain an alcohol-free campus atmosphere among our students and faculty, and that's part of our regulations. There are two Shell stations in our vicinity, and just one of them I know is being considered today for this renewal. The other one, I understand, is in an application process to begin selling alcoholic beverages, but that would come at a later time. We know that our students are committed not to consume alcohol or bring alcohol onto our campus, but we also know that in this society it sometimes happens even in a Christian college environment. And so we would just like to minimize the opportunities for our students to have these temptations. And we want to state our opposition to the renewal of the alcoholic beverage permit. We are good neighbors of these businesses. In fact, we do business at this gas station, purchasing fuel, and our faculty and staff and students purchase fuel and other products there. But still, we want to voice our opposition and request that the council would deny the renewal. We will go on no matter what. We've been there 40 years, and we know that our students can get in their cars and drive down just over the Trinity River and find a couple places where they could buy beer if they were so inclined. But we would like to prevent it in our vicinity. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Mayor, I understand Councilmember Cooper would like to make some comments.
Thank you.
I'd like to make some comments just on item number 40.
Okay, let's let any more
remaining speakers.
Any more remaining speakers, then we'll come to.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve agenda items number 40 and 41? Any speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Coop.
Thank you. Colleagues, I think many of you received a letter from Ms. Iola Johnson about her property on item number 40. I have talked with her. I just wanted to kind of, and she's not here right now, so I'm going to ask your indulgence at least postponing it for some time, just an hour or so, just so that we can give her an opportunity to come if she wants to come and speak. But can I go ahead and address it right now, or do you want to wait? And if she doesn't get here, I'm not going to postpone the item.
Why don't we wait for a moment?
Okay.
And take it all up at the same time.
Okay. Okay. I don't want to make sure. I'm not postponing the item until another date. I'm just postponing it for an hour or so.
Mr. Griggs?
Just a point of clarification. We're addressing item 41 right now and not item 40?
Well, this is both on the consent agenda.
Okay.
So it's 40 and 41.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll hold the consent agenda?
Maybe for an hour or so.
Is that the right way to
do this? Well, no, I think we should go ahead and pass on item number 41 and then hold 40
okay,
for an hour.
Would you make a motion for that?
Yes, sir. I move item number 41. Is that okay?
Okay.
Mr. Griggs.
And we got a motion and a second on item number 41. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried and we'll hold item 40. Ms. Coop, tell me when you're ready and we'll discuss that. All right. Ms. Rios?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Addendum item number 10 was held from this morning. It needs to be considered collectively with agenda items numbers 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, and 57. Therefore, all of these items will be read into the record at one time. Speakers, unless signed up, will be allowed to speak only on agenda item number 50. Agenda number 10 is an ordinance amending Chapter 29 of the Dallas City Code to provide for monthly dealers' licenses and fees to participate in the selling of produce or goods at the municipal produce market. Agenda item number 50 is a public hearing on amendments to tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 6, the Farmers Market TIF District 2, number 1, increase the geographic area of the Farmers Market TIF District to include properties located south and east of the existing boundary. Number 2, extend the term of the Farmers Market TIF District from September 30, 2013 to December 31, 2028. Number 3, increase the total Farmers Market TIF budget from approximately $22,733,724 total dollars to approximately $33,955,605 total dollars, including the adjustment of various budget categories and line items. Number four, decrease the percentage of tax increment contributed by the City of Dallas during the extended term of the TIF district and establish other taxing jurisdictions' participation percentages. And number five, allow direct land sale to implement the plan. Item number 51 is an ordinance previously approved on amending ordinance number 23521, previously approved on May 27, 1998, ordinance number 24001, previously approved on August 25, 1999, and ordinance number 25298, previously approved on June 25, 2003, to reflect these amendments. Item number 52 is a resolution authorizing the city manager to execute a 30-year lease agreement with 2 5-year renewal options for the Dallas Farmers Market Shed 1, approximately 57,750 square feet of space with Dallas Farmers Market Trust 1, LLC. Item number 53 is a resolution authorizing the city manager to sell the Dallas Farmers Market Shed 2 by executing number 1, a sale agreement with, and number 2, a deed without warranty conveying the property to Dallas Farmers Market Trust 2, LLC. Item number 54 is a resolution authorizing the city manager to sell the Farmers Market Sheds 3 and 4 by executing number 1, a sale agreement with, and number 2, a deed without warranty conveying the property to FM Harvest Limited. Item number 55 is a resolution authorizing the city manager to sell the Dallas Farmers Market Auxiliary Administration property by executing number 1, a sale agreement with, and number 2, a deed without warranty conveying the property to Dallas Farmers Market Trust, LLC. Item number 56 is a resolution authorizing the city manager to sell the Dallas Farmers Market remote parking area property by executing number 1, a sale agreement with, and number 2, a deed without warranty conveying the property to FM Futsal Limited. Number 57 is authorized number 1, a resolution defeasing certain outstanding bonds related to the improvement of Farmers Market. Number 2, approving and authorizing the execution of an escrow agreement with U.S. Bank, National Association, and number 3, resolving other matters relating thereto. We do have several individuals signed up to speak on items number addendum item 10 and 50 through 57. These individuals will be called first. We do have one individual signed up to speak only on item 50, and then the item will be open to the rest of the public.
Yeah, why don't we need to take all these items together. Mm-hmm. So if you signed up individually for these things, you will speak one time on all of them. Why don't we proceed with that? We're taking all these as a group, Council.
All right, your first speaker is Tanya Reagan. Tanya Reagan will be followed by William Gray, Mark Rubal, Dana Green, Leslie Ingendorf, and then Trina Trish. If you will please state your name and address for the record, you will be allowed 3 minutes, and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Tanya Reagan. I'm president of the Farmers Market Stakeholders Association, and we are here today to ask for your support and your vote yes today for items 50 through 57. Just to recap, many of you, I'm sure, have already seen the petition. I have several copies with me if you have not, but the Stakeholders Association circulated a petition to our neighbors, farmers market community, stakeholders, and residents, and we had 361 signatures in support of the privatization and the revitalization of the farmers market. We see the privatization as a huge economic positive for the area, a way for us to promote economic development, increase property values, and help an area that has been distressed and depressed turn into an area that will be fantastic and wonderful. So thank you all for all of your support. I know that many of you have been very, very involved in this process the last several years, and we thank you. And please vote yes today for item 50 through 57. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is William Gray. William Gray will be followed by Mark Rubal, Dana Green,
Leslie Engendorf and Trina Trish.
I'm William Gray. Good morning. Good evening, Mayor, Councilman. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to speak today. I'm a vendor at the Dallas Farmers Market, have been for quite some time. Back in 2012, the mayor had a town hall meeting at the Dallas Farmers Market, at which time some of the vendors shared their concerns with the way that the market was going. And the mayor asked if we would take and work together for the next 6 months to a year to help turn the market around, and here we are today. I'm in support of privatizing the market, and I think it's going to be a wonderful thing for the city of Dallas as well as the vendors and the farmers market. I think it will give the farmers market an opportunity to exist for another 70 years. So I just want to let you know that I support everything you all have done, including the investors and everyone that had worked so hard to make this come about. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Mark Rubel. Mr. Rubel will be followed by Dana Green, Leslie Engendorf, and Trina Trish.
Good afternoon. I'm Mark Rubel of Rubel's Plants. Our business is located at 601 South Pearl, right across the street from the farmers market. Originally, we were opened our 10-foot by 20-foot stall in the farmers market in 1983. And since then, we've grown and grown and moved around the market. We've never been more than one street away from the market in all that time. We've enjoyed good success down there, but since we started back in 83 when the market was really hopping and a lot of stuff was going on, we've noticed a lot of drawbacks and the market has fallen off quite a bit, lost direction a little bit, and hasn't quite regained its proper status as a destination. We support the privatization and the rebuilding of the farmers market as a way to bring people back down to the area and to make something that the whole city can be proud of. It'll be an area that we can build on the momentum this city has had in the downtown area with the new parks, with the arts districts, and all that you guys have done so far, and I think that this will be an added bonus for everything that's going on. It's a part of the city that's kind of been forgotten, and I know that it can be a great part of the city again, and I'll be happy to be neighbors and parts of the farmers market for years to come. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I've lost my place here for a minute. Your next speaker is Dana Green. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dana Green. I'm with Texas In Town Homes. And we'd like to thank you for all your support that you've given us in the city of Dallas. And also to let you know we are in support of the privatization of Farmers Market. And if y'all would like to walk to work, we've got quite a few townhomes still for sale. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Leslie Engendorf.
Hi, my name is Leslie Engendorf, and I'm a resident of Dallas and have lived here all my life. I'm a third-generation family member from the produce industry. My grandfather started underneath the farmer's market shed, and my dad joined him after getting out of the service, and he worked under the shed for a little while. I still remember as a little girl when he was under the shed, and then he slowly began to invest in property along Harwood Street. We still own much of that property today. And I'm here to say that my family and I strongly support the privatization of the farmers market because we feel that it's time for something really new. And although the city's tried to get themselves together, if you will, we haven't been able to get that accomplished. And so we feel that the only way to really make this area come to life and to pop is to start at something really new and innovative. We understand that we can't agree with everything 100%, but we're definitely behind the privatization. I think it'll be good for the entire city. I believe that it'll be a destination place and will be exciting for all of our residents and people that come to visit Dallas, Texas. On a personal note, I'd like to thank those city council people who have been so kind to listen to us over the course of the last couple of years. And whether or not we've agreed on certain issues or points, we certainly do appreciate you guys for opening your doors to us and listening to us. And hopefully we can help get this thing passed and move on to something new and exciting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Trina Trish. Ms. Trish will be speaking only on agenda item number 50.
Good afternoon. Greetings to everyone. Agenda item 50 still concerns the sale of Farmers Market to a private company, and I'm very much against that. I think it's a bad business deal, according to my math calculations. I do believe the fact that it is in a TIF area means that the city went out and they saw that there was room for economic growth, and so they want a group of private investors to do what they can do themselves, which is promote that area, which is an excellent area for business, and then lease out the same property that you want to give that right to private businesses, so that they can make the money. And I don't understand. You're going to spend $3.2 million of taxpayers' dollars that you will receive from the sale of this property, and then you're going to use some of it to take care of the sewage. And then on top of that, you're going to use $5.5 million of taxpayers' money so that you can fix up the streets and all. You may say I'm not that bright, but that math does not add up. Besides the fact that when you give it to private investors, you give them the opportunity to operate privately as opposed to the public city leasing out those businesses, then those businesses are restricted to the laws of this land, which is you can't do discrimination, you can't hire who you want to, there's a bidding process, all businesses will be treated fairly when they come in to get some of that property. No, the private businesses will be able to say who can come in and who can come out. But the public city is going to have to say, we need you to bid, we need you to come in. You have to adhere to these hiring practices. You have to adhere to these firing practices. I don't get it. I wish somebody would take the crazy button off my head and explain it to me intelligently. I would like an intelligent constituent to come to me and say, this is why I support that bad math deal for the citizens of Dallas all the way around. Then we're going to protect them. Then you're going to spend $1 million to build a new shelter and turn it around so the shelter folk can't just walk right across the street still and go visit their businesses. Doesn't make sense to me. Can somebody explain that? Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on agenda item number 50? Whether you're in favor or in opposition, if you please come up to the podium, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state whether you are in favor or in opposition of the item. Thank you.
Yes, name is Richard Sheridan, 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. I am for 50, and obviously for the rest of them as well, with a condition. And the condition is that we change the bridge's clientele. I played a major role in getting the bridge built. It did not turn out the way it should have, not just according to my opinion and experience, but according to a lot of people. I think that the Farmers Market shareholders would agree. The bridge is a mean-spirited place run by an incompetent Nazi-like staff primarily interested in maintaining a grease pit where residents' clients are kept as a number, as a statistic, with the bridge getting U.S. government money from their numbers game, and the bridge showing the unknowing Dallas citizens that the city is doing a good job, which is the furthest thing from the truth. Every month there is a vicious cycle of client government checks coming in, clients going to get their coke, crack cocaine, etc. They go drug binging for a few days and then go back to the bridge to continue the blight on the surrounding
Mr.
market
Sheridan,
area.
Speak to the issue, if you don't mind.
Well, this is the issue. I agree. I accept on the condition that we change the clientele of the bridge and we bring in a clientele like battered women and children who would not disrupt that area like the chemically addicted and the alcoholics that are not given the rehabilitation that's necessary. We need to remove the clientele of the bridge and replace them with battered women and children. That is my opinion, and it is subject matter. It pertains exactly to 50. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on agenda item 50? Mr. Mayor, we have no further speakers. However, the following statement does apply to agenda items number 45 through 47, as well as 50 through 57. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, agenda items 50 through 57 will require 2 seconds.
Thank you. So I'll entertain a motion. We've got a motion and we've got 2 seconds. Discussion, City Council. Anybody? Hearing none, I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. I might say thank you to thank you for all that have worked hard on this this project in the private sector, and thank you to city staff, Ryan, your leadership in making this a reality. So let's get it done. Let's get it done. Thank you. Next item.
Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, it is understood that addendum item number 10 was part of the approval process.
Yes.
Thank you. Addendum item number 12 needs to be considered before agenda item 45. Addendum item number 12 is a public hearing regarding the application for and approval of the field permit and removal of the floodplain FP prefix from approximately 3.30 acres of the current 3.95 acres of land located at 10808 Luna Road within the floodplain of the Elm Fork of the Trinity River Field Permit 12-07. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on addendum item number 12? Are there any speakers? There are no speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll call for a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'm going to make a note, but I wanted to check if I'm supposed to do item 45 as well because it's related
no,
to that.
No, just item.
Right now, that's okay. As long as we approve.
Thank you very much. I make a motion for approval.
Second. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to double check and make sure that is this one of the sites for the gas drilling or is it not? It is not. Just wanted to make sure I had that clear. Who's on record? Who on the record is actually saying no to that? Is that you, Ryan?
Liz Fernandez. No, ma'am, it's not one of the gas drill locations. This
okay.
is a different one.
It's related to the zoning case that Ms. Alonzo has on the agenda today, right?
Is that correct? I'm not sure. Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 45 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an industrial outside not potentially incompatible use limited to a concrete batch plant on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the northeast corner of Luna Road and Ryan Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 8 notices. Property owners within 300 feet of the area request received 3 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Excuse me. Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the zoning changes recommended by the CPC or City Plan Commission, subject to a revised site plan and subject to the following change. The industrial outside, not potentially incompatible use, limited to a concrete bed plant, may only operate between the hours of 12 a.m. midnight and 7 p.m. on Monday through Friday, and between 12 a.m. midnight and 3 p.m. on Saturday.
Thank you. We have 2 seconds. We need them, and we got them. Any other discussion? Yes, Ms. Grayson.
You know, I'm going to support this motion, but Ms. Alonzo has had a number of cases come up recently in this same area, and it's a heavy industrial area, and it seems as though these are the right uses in that area, and yet we keep getting recommendations that say we shouldn't approve these because we have the soccer fields there. And yet, and I'm going to bring it up, here comes gas drilling with a, you know, kind of urging of our plant commissioners to approve a heavy industrial use there. So what's the difference between that use and these? We need to make a decision as to whether we're going to continue to allow new and existing industrial uses to come forward for approvals, or are we not? And gas drilling is part of that, because that is a very heavy use that's coming in right next to our soccer field. So I'm kind of torn. If I approve these uses that Ms. Alonzo is having come up in her district, do I then be consistent and approve the gas drilling, which I have no intention of doing? So I think we have kind of a conundrum here. For those of us who don't think gas drilling is right in that location, do we go ahead and be consistent and approve these other uses? That's my concern about these cases, and why I've actually been glad to see Ms. Alonzo keep deferring some of these cases. I have seconded that because I've been happy that she has postponed them so that we can make some sort of decision, I hope, on what's the correct way to handle this area.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Davis.
Mayor, are we doing this case by case? Because what I'm looking at here is that this council member is trying to approve something in her own particular district. So why are we putting gas drilling with this? I would think we're talking two separate things here. And so I think that, and that's what I'm trying to get understanding. I don't think we should bring the two together. Are these two separate agenda items? I guess that's what I'm asking you.
Yes, they are. Other discussions? Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I had the same question as Councilmember Davis. It didn't seem to me that the two items were related. We're specifically discussing, I thought, Ms. Alonzo's motion for a usage in Ms. Alonzo's district, which I'm sure she has studied and is comfortable with. Am I missing something? Is there something else we're talking about? Because if so, I need help if we're talking about something other than Ms. Alonzo's motion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Ms. Carraway?
Call the question.
Do we have any other discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? A motion is carried.
Thank you. We move back now to agenda item number 42, a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and renewal of specific use permit number 1371. For an open enrollment charter school in a child care facility on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district on the southeast corner of R.L. Thornton Freeway and Ann Arbor Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 53 notices to property owners within 400 feet of their request, received 4 replies in favor and 3 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? You will be allowed 2 minutes to 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rollins.
Mayor Rollins, if they cut billions from the public schools, why are they getting all this money for the charter schools and they're closing schools at the public? They're closing public schools, but every week it's money for the charter schools, and they cut billions from the Texas education money. Where is this money coming from, Mayor Rollins? If you're closing the public schools, where's all this money coming from for these charter schools, Mayor Rollins? Do you know? Y'all just vote yes? And if you're closing the public schools, where's this money coming from, Mayor Rollins, for these charter schools? Do you know? Or could I ask that question? Do anybody know where is this money? And you're closing the DISD is pitiful. Where is this money coming from, Mayor Rollins, for these charter schools every week? Do you know? Nope. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition?
I don't know nothing about it. My name is Gwen Wooten. I live at 1000 Grisby, Dallas, Texas. I don't know nothing about these charter schools, but it does seem that there's more charter schools coming up than DISD. Mayor Rollins, I'm talking to you. You're the only somebody down here I can talk to. Now I'm talking to you. I wish that camera was on y'all instead of on us. It should be on y'all so the citizens could see how disrespectful you are to the citizens of this city, at least the poverty-stricken people in this city. Now, we have charter schools that are making exemplary records. I mean, these children are just going crazy with education. And we have DISD that's not doing nothing but sending children to prison. Does anybody down here own these charter schools? Do y'all have, stocks and bonds in these charter schools? Because these charter schools are going to close down DISD. And I just want to say, if y'all involved with these charter schools, I don't even think y'all should be able to vote on them, because we have more charter schools here now than we do DISD.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sheridan, your time has already expired. Apologies. I'm sorry, you called. Excuse me, you spoke on the previous item. I apologize. Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Fairway.
Move approval, please.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 43 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new sub-area for commercial uses on property zoned Conservation District number 9, the M Streets Conservation District, on the southwest corner of Greenville Avenue and Vanderbilt Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 30 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 4 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 44 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a liquor store on property zoned a CRD commercial retail district with a D liquor control overlay on the southwest side of PB Road, northwest of Garland Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 21 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 6 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
You. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I got one question for you, David, please. Where it states in here that it's a sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a liquor store actually means sale of beer and wine. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It just recognizes that that store may sell more than 75% or reach the majority of their income through alcohol sales.
Correct.
It doesn't necessarily refer to liquor, no, sir.
Okay. And one more question. If I approve this with the 2-year period automatic renewal, that still has to be a, it still could be disapproved if there was a problem.
Yes, sir. If there's issues with any neighboring property owners or they're not in compliance with conditions, there would be a called public hearing on it. Yes, sir.
Very, very good. Okay, thank you, Dave. Okay, Mayor, I have a recommendation. I'd like to recommend approval of item number, 44 here, and I'd recommend we take staff recommendation on this item. Thank you.
So we have a motion to approve. Ms. Caraway?
Yes, Mayor, and Mr. Cadane, I agree with you as related to when we say liquor control overlay and alcoholic beverages. If city manager would, if city manager could, if we would, put in parentheses beer and wine, make a distinction of beer and wine so it won't be misconstrued with alcohol.
That's very acceptable to me. If that's okay, can that be done?
Friendly. Yeah, and I'm speaking of in the future when we entertain dishes as well. Just
yeah, I agree.
Beer and wine in parentheses after alcoholic beverages.
I agree.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Please.
We got it. Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
The city is generally preempted from regulating alcohol, and so we cannot dictate what kind of alcohol permit someone can get. In our in the D1s, we can give them permission to sell alcohol, and then once we give them permission to sell alcohol, they can go get whatever permits they are entitled to get from the TABC, but we can't dictate what kind of permits they can get.
But Mayor, let me just, can they, when we're approving this, we're not approving, it's important for my constituents to understand that I'm not approving gin, vodka, and bourbon.
Right.
When we do this, we are approving beer and wine. Is that what we're approving here today?
The applicant's proposal is to get a beer and wine off-premise permit,
And that's what I want to make sure that is very clear so that people will not misconstrue, as what Mr. Cadane and I were talking about, and get the wrong assertion that it is hard liquor. It is a difference between a liquor store and beer and wine. It's a difference on what they have on their shelves. And I just think that as we go through this process, so that we can have clarity, if we okay a liquor store, then we're doing the Seagulls, the Spirits, and those type people with hard liquor. But in these little neighborhood stores that we're dealing with these beer and wine permits, it need to distinctively show that it is beer and wine and not hard alcohol.
Right. Mr. Cadane wanted to speak on this, and then maybe you can comment.
Maybe you can speak to it. My only concern was that it stated liquor store. That means something totally different to me, liquor store. And it's
not
a liquor store. And that's all I'm trying to get over with this amendment. This is not a liquor store. The beer and wine overlay.
Right, but our zoning does not make distinctions between types of alcoholic beverages. There's beer, wine, hard liquors, or whatever.
Our
zoning use for liquor store is a use that sells more than 75, more a majority of its income comes from the sale of alcoholic beverages in general. The TABC controls what kind of alcohol they sell, not us.
I'm just trying to go back and forth, but if the TABC controls that,
then where they sell beer and wine on the corner of Overton and Ramona, you're telling me they can put a liquor store there, and we don't have any control of it if it's to that degree. And in this past resolution that we just made, we did not approve alcohol in those areas. So we regulated it by saying you can only do beer and wine,
right.
And no, and liquor stores have to stay somewhere else.
Yes. I'm sorry. I was just told this store is in the newly wet part of Dallas. So the only kind of alcohol you can sell per that local option election is beer and wine for off premise consumption.
Okay. And
so they're not going to get a general liquor store license.
And I want to make it
but
clear.
But that's a TABC rule, not a city rule.
But it still can be clarified to us so that we can re-clarify it to our constituents so
yes.
They will know.
I get you.
So the applicant has represented to us that they'll be selling beer and wine. This does come back in 2 years. We can, of course, take a look at what's being sold at that time and revoke the SUP if it's not in compliance with what the council wishes.
I think the question, just to clarify, is do we need to use the term liquor store, or is there another term when it's not hard liquor?
Well, that's a use definition in our code. Now,
it's
a use definition in our code. So that complies with the use definition. We can always look at that and bring it back. But I think for the purposes today, we do need to stick with the definition. But the intent is clear.
I think for clarification, for history's sake, looking at that term going forward is something we probably should do.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
Ms.
Davis.
Let me say something, Teresa. I know this is Peavy Road and Garland Road, which is a lot of commercial in Mr. Cadane's district where we kind of butt up at. This language says a D1 liquor control overlay and ordinance granted a special use permit for the sale of alcohol beverage with a liquor store. Now, if the owner picked this up, what would he think he could sell here? What would the owner think that he could sell?
Yes, and what the problem we're facing is those permits to sell beer and wine or to sell liquor aren't issued by the city. Those are issued by the state.
I guess the question I'm asking, and it's something that if item 44, because we get into this and when we support Sheffy on this, what would the owner think that he can sell here based on the language in which it's written? That's why I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're saying it's only beer and wine, but the language here says for a special use permit. And I said that because people, when we do stuff, I don't want this person thinking that we gave him the approval to sell alcohol beverage in conjunction with a liquor store.
Well, so that area only allows beer and wine sales.
But why couldn't we not write it that way?
Because what we're constrained by is the definition in the zoning ordinance.
And
it's written more broadly than what it's clear that the council would like to
and
do.
She said she'll go back and look at that
and
bring it back to us.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Ms. Koop?
Yeah, I have to agree with that. And Mr. Carraway, and we support Mr. Cadane's position. But it even in the summary, it's very confusing. Even in the summary portion where you don't have to discuss the legalities of the terminology, it's very confusing. So what we're saying is you don't need to change the code. Just make it clear in the summary so we
understand
it. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. We've got I think you made a motion, and we got the seconds. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 46 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an IM Industrial Manufacturing District and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned an IR Industrial Research District on the south line of Ryan Road, east of Luna Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 18 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area request, received 4 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? So you do have 3 minutes to speak.
Can I do a handout? I have something that I'd like you all to speak.
If you're speaking, come on down.
Thanks.
My name is Erwin Kerner. I live at 5200 Keller Springs Road. We own.
Would you lift your mic up and speak? Thank you.
I'm Erwin Kerner. We own the property directly, not directly, but very close to where these folks want to put in a compost plant. Having been here once or twice before and having smelled the compost plant that's in fairly close proximity to our property now, and the smells are horrendous that come from these plants. And every one of these plants emits chemicals. If you take a look at the handout that you have from an environmental engineer, on page 2 and 3 of the handout, you will see the chemicals, many of which are dangerous to be breathed in. Now, these chemicals, this plant will be not too far from the soccer fields. Once again, you have environmental air quality issue. Not only that, when these piles of compost, and it's a very heavy wind, blow, this stuff gets airborne. And people who have to breathe this stuff, people who work here, people who come to a restaurant here. Mercado Juarez is real close to this restaurant. And amongst the handouts, pages in that handout that I have is a letter from Mercado Juarez, who unfortunately, from the owner of Mercado Juarez, who unfortunately couldn't be here today. He has a big job that he's working on. But he sent a letter explaining how people come to his restaurant and they smell the smell from the compost plant across the street. And they think that the smell is from his dumpster. And they complain that he should dump his dumpster. And he explains to them where the smell is coming from, but they don't. It's hurting his clientele. It'll hurt all the people in the area who have customers that come to their businesses in this area. I have no reason to come here and object to this. I've never come here to object to any other proponent of a development. But this is going to hurt us. It's going to hurt the businesses in the area. People are going to have to smell those 43 chemicals that are on your list. And they're going to, and it won't be every day. I've been there 4 times. Twice, you could barely smell it. But twice, the smell was so bad and so rancid, and it was the identical smell that we smell from the compost plant across the street. It was not different. And they will tell you that they don't put solid waste in the composting that they're going to do. But I've been to their plant, and the plant smells no different than the plant across the street. And I don't know what it is and when it is that makes the smell. I don't know if it's the heat. I don't know if it's when it rains. But that smell will come, and we will all smell it. And so will all the customers and the workers who have to come here. There's no reason that this thing should be rezoned and allowed. And there's also a letter.
Thank you. Thank you.
From
your time's up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next speaker in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my first time here. My name is Michael Mantas, and I represent the landlord of the property just south of the proposed rezoning. We have 5 acres of land. We've owned that for about 7 years. I've been there several times. I've cut the grass, I've killed snakes, paid my taxes. We've been a good steward of the property. A lot of vandalism in the area. We had to clean it up. As it turns out, our property sits between an existing compost plant just to the south of us across the bridge, and this new one will be on the north of us, so we'll in effect be sandwiched between two compost plants. And I'm not an expert in wind movement, but I've been told that this is exactly the way the wind behaves. In the winter, it comes from the south going north. Perhaps in the summer, it's the other way around, north to south. Maybe I have it backwards, but we're sitting in the line of fire. Now, our property has not been leased. We don't have a tenant, prospective tenant yet. And it's one thing to drive by and get a whiff of the smell, and another thing to actually spend 8 hours a day working there. It's a different feeling.
And I think most of the people coming and going there, that's all they do. They drive by, and they don't really get the new flavor in town. There's a new flavor in town, and it's called cow manure. And the coffee that we'll be serving there is called manure coffee. It's not going to be hazelnut like I get at Quick Trip or whatever. So that's a subjective smell that some people are more sensitive to it than others. You cannot deny them that difference in sensitivity. I understand the reason for development to get taxation, but we're familiar with the area and we feel very comfortable that the area will move forward and other tenants will step forward and will lease it in a heartbeat. In fact, I can go on record and say they'll be next in line to grab it or buy it or develop it, or so you will not lose out on taxes. And what you might gain in taxes by developing this one, you will lose from my property if it remains vacant. So I've been to that area several times. I've walked on it, and it seems to be high on a high plateau. And these compost plants are not 3 feet high. They're three stories high, some of them. So we're not dealing with a little pile that can be sheltered in with a 9-foot wall. There's some things you cannot insulate. You cannot insulate sound from the gun range. You cannot insulate smell. You can insulate metal or some other things, but this is not one that you can insulate. So we deserve some consideration because it's a strange area. You have a topless club on one end, Mercado Juarez on the other end. You have a hotel in the other corner. Ours could be a hotel one day.
Thank
We're
you.
Zoned for that.
Thank you.
And going on. So we'd like for you to be...
Thank you.
Any other speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Please proceed, sir.
My name is George Watson, and I'm an owner of some property on Northwest Highway that's directly south of this location. And there's no reason to repeat again what the two people in front of me have said. The smell is not going to be there all the time, but it's going to be there enough of the time that it's going to certainly decrease the value of the properties along Northwest Highway, and in particular those properties that have retail use, such as Mercado Juarez. But the thing that I cannot understand, and I believe it was Councilman Grayson that brought this subject up relative to drilling gas wells across the street from a really nice park area that the city has for, and they've designated that area for soccer fields. Why in the world you would allow compost plants across the street from soccer fields where kids are supposed to be out there and their families enjoying the weekend? And not only is it going to be smelling horrible, but, I have an engineer that's looked at this, and he said this is going to be throwing off methane, hydrogen sulfide, and a number of other invasive organic chemicals that, in the right amounts, is dangerous for these kids. I mean, it's just, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Alan Hammer, and I represent the property at 10733 Spangler Road. I work for GT Management. And we're in opposition of this compost plant because there's currently one existing off of West Northwest Highway. And I think it's appalling when you enter a major city like Dallas and the first thing you smell is methane gas. In a major development where we spent millions of dollars in research and developing the area for future use as soccer fields, I think about my two young daughters, one that's 4 and one that's 5, with undeveloped lungs that in the near future that will be playing soccer, that will be over at possibly at those soccer fields, breathing that air from two compost plants. I think we need to consider the investment that we've already made to the area. Our current tenants that use the area over there at that address have potential visitors of up to 12,000 per week visiting the location. The first thing we want them to smell is a sewage-type plant when they exit the building. They already have that when they exit the building due to existing properties there on West Northwest Highway. So I ask the council to consider, when somebody enters my major city of Dallas from Las Colinas, which is another major economic developed area, do I want them to smell sewage? For that, I say no. You, the city of Dallas, I ask you to say no today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation?
Good afternoon. My name is Gabriela Rosales, and I'm the tenant at 10733 Spangler Road. We recently leased the location, and we learned about the compost that is wanting to come in, and I'm concerned for the methane gas, the smells that's already existing with the existing compost facilities right nearby. We will be located directly across the railroad track from where the company wants to come in. And I'm concerned about when the winds blow, we're not going to only have to deal with the wind blowing from one compost company to our property, but now also from the other side and directly over to where we have our business. The smell, it's something that we really do not want to have our customers go through. And I just really hope that you will deny the SEP for this compost company. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve?
All right. Anybody else? Guys, I ask them to come down. If you want to speak, come on down.
The next speakers will be those that wish to speak in favor.
If you're in favor of this, I want you to come on down the front row.
Name and address, sir, please. Thank you very much.
Hey, my name is Thomas Williams. I represent K Post Company. We're a commercial roofing company in Dallas. We are located to the southwest of the proposed location. I'm here. I know I got up when they said opposition. I don't want to sound mealy-mouthed, but we've been looking at this for several weeks. I know it's been on your docket for many months. I also visited his facility. I've done quite a bit of reading on various articles about composting, and I believe that if this business does their job and does it correctly, you, as many articles state, that those bad odors will not be generated.
I'm sorry, are you in opposition?
I just wanted to discuss what I'm not really, no.
Okay.
But
so you're for it? Okay,
yes.
Then go ahead and speak. I just wanted that on record.
I believe if he runs the business properly, if he maintains the compost piles at the proper moisture content, which is beneficial to him as far as the composting procedure goes. If he aerates the piles properly with oxygen, that foul smell is not generated. Believe me, I have problems with the facility to the south of Northwest Highway. It's right across the street from our business. But I don't feel that's the reason why I should be up here telling him he can't put a composting plant to the north. If he does it properly, we shouldn't have odors. We shouldn't have airborne fibers to an excessive extent, and therefore I feel he should have the opportunity to do his business. And believe me, if he doesn't do it right, I'll be calling 311, the Texas Environmental Quality Control people, and Councilwoman Monica Alonso. I'd also like to compliment her on the fact that she spent a great deal of time meeting with both the opposition and the business owner, and I think she did her homework trying to get us together in one room and at least talk this out like adults and figure out if this is the right way to go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker. Next speaker in favor of the CPC recommendation. We need assistance with the PowerPoint equipment, please.
Who's doing it?
There you go.
There we go. Okay. Dallas Cothran, 900 Jackson Street, representing the applicant. In this instance, I really want you to spend some time thinking about the city over the last 10 years has made a lot of progress about being a green city. And this is a green enterprise. We don't accept any non-organic materials. We don't use raw manure. So we're going to talk about what we're not. And you'll have Dr. Stephen George with Texas A&M and Neil Sperry talk to you about why this is a legitimate business. They've been in business since 1972, and if you look, these are their projects. They are the premier group in terms of soils. The Deck Park, the Omni, the State Fair, the Perot Museum, that's who people go to because they have the best products. If you look, the people that are directly adjacent are in favor. And what I just passed around is nearly 130 signatures. If you'll look at the last letter in the packet, it's from someone who has operated adjacent to him for more than 20 years with no problems. So they have an exemplary record. A couple of the speakers that are south of us object, but they already have IM zoning. They could do the use we have now. So it's a little disingenuous to be opposed to something that they're allowed to have, it seems to me. If you look here, this is our site. We are in an industrial area. You just approved a batch plant. We have a green use here, and these are the uses that are all around us. Here's a more detailed site. The purple are the people that are going to be adjacent to us. They're in favor. The green is a City of Dallas greenbelt and drainage area. The blue is, the green is a all green belt that we intend to keep. We also have in our deed restrictions on the stacking height. And so we're 450 feet. There's more than 100 feet of right-of-way of rail there. So we are not directly adjacent. And I'd ask that you really consider that this is what's across the street. There's no stacking heights, and they use raw manure. There's a big difference, and we have experts to talk to you about that. So the site directly adjacent, the blue next to Mr. Kerner's site, already has IM zoning with an SUP for metal salvage. That's what's to the south of us. So he did not object to their IM zoning and metal salvage. We're asking for a IM district with a bunch of deed restrictions that allow us to essentially just do composting. And we've agreed to stacking heights and keeping the green belt. And this is a longtime operator who has successfully worked in this area. So we're already closer to the soccer field than we'll be today, but we're a green use, think that we're in an appropriate location. And, I think it's very important that one of the people who started out as against this, the more he educated himself, he's now in favor. So we'd ask that you vote in favor, and we have a number of speakers. And I'd ask everybody to stand because we won't have time for all of our speakers, but if everybody that's here in favor would stand up, I would appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cawthon. Next.
Next speaker.
Hello, I'm Baron Ablon. I'm the owner of Soil Building Systems. I presently operate a facility in District 6, about half a mile from the proposed site. This down Luna Road, and I'm a Dallas native and been here all my life. I wanted to thank the councilwoman and the three commissioners that visited the site to take the time to understand really what this is about. SBS was founded 40 years ago by my father. We've moved to the facility that we're currently on 20 years ago. And in 2001, I came in and took over the business. Now he's retired. We basically divert organics or living materials from the landfill and make high-end compost, mulch, and soil mixes. We cater to the knowledgeable and the high-end segment of the landscape market. We practice aerobic composting methods, and you'll hear more about what that means from Dr. Sloan from A&M momentarily. We maintain manageable pile heights. We exceed industry norms for number of turns, which is very relevant to aerobic composting. And we use dust suppression methods, which is quite important. We conduct ongoing testing of our materials to ensure that they meet our requirements, and we actually subject our materials to a battery of tests quarterly to earn a seal of testing assurance through the U.S. Composting Council. We do not bring in or use manure, raw manure, in our process. These are a few things that set us apart from others in the industry and a large reason for our success. My business has grown. I need to expand down the street. I wish to expand down the street, and I need a bigger footprint to do so. I've found a property, an industrial property, that is naturally screened by 30-foot-high tree line on three sides of the property. We are, and it's not on a major highway, and in fact, it's on a dead-end street, so it's very much tucked out of the way. We not only produce zero waste, we actually consume waste. We fit very nicely into the city's initiative for zero waste that has been talked about. We do things right because that's our business model and because our customers, our clientele, require us to do so. So there's a catch in there. And I just ask for your support. I really appreciate the time. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Neil Sperry. I'm a horticulturist. I do a gardening talk show across town at WBAP, across Dallas now. I'm very familiar with Dallas. I began as Dallas County Extension horticulturist in 1970 in the records building and then the old red castle. And then I moved as area horticulturist serving Dallas and 17 other counties up on Coit Road. I began commercial radio right down the street at WFAA 570 in 1978, and in 1980 went to KRLD and worked at KRLD until 2010, and then WBAP. I live in McKinney. However, I know Dallas. My career is based in Dallas. My roots are here. It's important that I tell you that I am here on my own volition. I am not being paid in any way for the words that I bring to you today. These are my heartfelt feelings. Not all composting facilities are created equally. What you have heard about one does not necessarily transpose to all of them. I've known Baron Ablon, as he said, the owner of Soil Building Systems, and his dad, Fred, who founded it 40 years ago, about the time I began my career here. I've known them for many, many years, and I hold them in the highest personal regard. I took my 3-year-old grandson on a 2-hour tour of this facility on the grounds about a month ago. We had a wonderful time. I did not detect aromas. I had a wonderful time with Joseph. You may have seen photos on my Facebook page of the joy that he had there. It's a good place, and it's a clean place. Knowing the company, having toured that and toured the new site, I am very willing to speak on their behalf. I know the company, I know their people, and I know the product that they turn out. I guess what has struck me over all of the years is the beauty that Soil Building Systems has brought to North Texas. The soils of the Clyde Warren Park and the George Bush Presidential Library, new on their docket. The TWU T. Boone Pickens, it's a long name, Institute of Health Sciences, and the Old Parkland Hospital renovation, and many, many more over all those years. This is the company that Dallas landscape contractors go to because they want the highest quality product. This is a company I am proud to stand alongside before you today. This is the kind of company that will make our city and our area more beautiful. This is what will make our lives more rich. I ask your support on behalf of Baron Ablon and Soil Building Systems. Thank you.
Next speaker. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Yes. Hello, my name is Dr. John Sloan. I'm a resident of Plano, Texas. I have worked for Texas A&M University for the past 15 years, although I recently changed positions, and I work now up in the St. Louis area with the National Great Rivers Research and Education Center. But in my time with Texas A&M University, and I was located here in Dallas, I worked a lot with compost. That was one of the areas that I worked with.
So I wanted to address the issue of odors with the composting process, how that affects the odors that are produced. I'll first mention composting really is just a natural process that occurs in nature. You can speed that process up by using some techniques, which is essentially what soil building systems does. And the two main factors in how successful your composting is the feedstock materials that go into the compost and then the process you use to make that compost. The feedstocks can range from things from vegetative materials like leaves, branches, yard waste essentially, which is what soil building system uses, or you can, there's also materials like manures that we've heard mentioned, and sewage sludge, there's other types of materials that can go into compost as well. Soil building systems uses only vegetative material, essentially land waste material that comes from landscapes. The reason the materials are important is because if you use materials like manures, vegetative material essentially just contains everything that plants took up during their growth cycle. Manures contain other materials, proteins, and other types of organic compounds that when they break down, they can release certain chemicals. Then the composting process is very important as well. Compost can either be produced aerobically, which means you incorporate a lot of air and oxygen into the process, or it can be anaerobically, where it lacks oxygen. This is very important. And soil building systems ensure that they have an aerobic process by frequently turning the piles, which prevents the production of any of these chemicals that I haven't seen the list that was given to you, but I assume it contains things like hydrogen sulfate we heard mentioned methane. Those things are only formed when you use an anaerobic process, when you use materials like manures and that contain a lot of protein and other materials like that, and when you don't turn the pile sufficiently. When you use only vegetative material and you turn the pile frequently, you have an aerobic process, and you don't produce any of those chemicals that are on that list that was given to you. I think that covers the science part of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Clark Northcutt. I operate, our business operates just immediately about 30 feet across the street from soil building systems. In my 8 years there, 8 years there, I've never experienced at any time we can have at least 30 to 40 employees at that facility. We have a batch plant there. I've never witnessed any remarks or anything from any employees that there was an aroma or smell. I've never had any discomfort there myself. I guess really my biggest fear that if we don't approve something like this, that the debris or brush or anything like that these people are bringing in there that is actually very green for the environment, that those will end up just dumped on the side of the street or at the end of a cul-de-sac somewhere, whereas with a facility like this we have the opportunity for someone to bring that stuff there, and I just think that it will really help the environment so that those people won't be just dumping grass cuttings or brush or anything like that they clean up from any residential or commercial properties. With this place, they have a facility where they can bring it. It can be disposed of properly and then also used again in the future. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor?
Good afternoon. My name is Tyler Briggs. I'm an owner-operator of the property, I guess, to the northeast side that is adjacent to the property in question, and I'm just here to voice my support for the zoning change.
Are there any other speakers in favor?
All right, good afternoon. My name is Peter Romo. I'm with Romo Landscape Company, and I'm in full support with my friend Baron and his family, and I do a lot of large residential state landscapes for a lot of prominent families, great families that are here in the Dallas area. I've used their products I've been buying from the company for just about 20 years. Very, very, very good product. again, I've seen their process. They're just like worker bees turning, flipping, doing everything they need to with working their material. And I never understood what, I never smelt what people are talking about at this facility. I do trade with the other facility because there's other things I need to buy with Living Earth Technology, and I'm not trying to cut them down. They're a great, great company, but again, it's two different entities, and again, I just want to express my support for the Soil Building System Company. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor?
I'm William Cothram, 900 Jackson Street, speaking for the applicant. I'm going to just wrap up very, very briefly here. This is an area that's industrial. It's an area that the property immediately to the south allows the use that we're asking for. The Plan Commission voted for it unanimously. Three members of the Plan Commission went out and toured the site, the commission member from the district, several times. They came away with very favorable feelings. We've presented to you today experts in the field, the gentleman from Texas A&M, Neil Sperry. People have been doing this all along to explain to you that there's different types of composting facilities. I point out to you today that there's a letter in your packet from a gentleman that's operated with around 20 years next to Mr. Ablon's current facility. He's had no problems. We've got the owner of the property immediately next door to where he's going to be moving to, speaking in his behalf. Got a unanimous vote of the commission. We've got experts here saying that this does not create a smell. It's different than the other facility some distance away from here. So I respectfully ask you all today to take into consideration the number of people on that petition, the fact that the people immediately adjacent to it are for it, the others that are in opposition are further away from it, and approve this today. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor, and this item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I want to thank everyone that was involved with this issue. There was a lot of conversation. Yes, we did meet many times, and we talked about it, and we wanted to also be respectful of the applicant's emergency that he had previously. So, first of all, thank all of you for being involved. Thank all of you for coming forth and conversing with us. It's difficult to be able to discuss this issue because there's a lot that was discussed, there's a lot that was researched, there's a lot that we talked about. But in the end, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to come to one decision. And I've heard from all the businesses that were in the area, businesses that had contacted us, but it's the people that are there right next to it or going to be right next to it that is going to be having a major impact. And no one knows more than, as I talk about it every time I go to the neighborhood meetings or community meetings, is they're the eyes and ears, as well as, not to mention, the nose as well. So, Mr. Mayor, with that, I move for us to, and colleagues, I ask for your support to support me in denying this issue as we move forward.
So your motion is
motion
to deny.
Motion to deny.
We have a second. We've got a motion and a second. We don't need two seconds to approve, right? So just one. Okay. Do we have any discussion? All right. Hearing none, all in favor of the motion to deny, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Opposed.
Nay. We have two nays. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Three. Three nays. Okay. Motion carries. Okay. Next item.
Item number 47. is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new special purpose sign district on multiple tracts of land owned by the Dallas County Hospital District, a.k.a. Parkland Hospital, in an area generally bounded by Redfield Street, both sides of Butler Street, Maple Avenue, Medical District Drive, both sides near Harry Hines Boulevard, Harry Hines Boulevard, and the CRI and GRR Railroad line.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 73 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request, received 12 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor?
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the Dallas City Council. Suzanne Kedron, 901 Main Street. I'm here today with Leslie Eccles. She's part of the new Parkland campus team, and I also have our consultant from Focus EGD that helps prepare the signage packages before you today. We're very excited about this project for the city. I think it's one of the best projects around. It's one of the largest projects in the world right now under construction. The Parkland Hospital has already topped out. We're expecting substantial completion by June 2014 and occupancy by spring 2015. This is one more piece in the puzzle. What is before you is a package that's primarily wayfinding and some opportunities for donor recognition signage. I'm seeking your support of the staff recommendation of approval, the Special Sign District Advisory Committee of approval, and the City Plan Commission. I'm here to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Brown?
Move to approve.
Motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 48 is a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2013-2014 operating capital grant and trust budgets. We do have some individuals signed up to speak. Gustavo Gonzalez. Mr. Gonzalez will be followed by Chris Watts, Mary Spencer, and then it'll be open to the rest of the public, should you wish to speak. Sir, you are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
Mayor.
Question? Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. Thank you for the time allotted to me. My name is Gustavo Gonzalez, and I'm the chair of the Senior Affairs Commission for the City of Dallas. And I want to begin by expressing our gratitude and congratulations to you for passing the boarding house ordinance in this last session. And so congratulations are in order, and it's an excellent beginning. There's a handout that's being passed out right now that summarizes my remarks, and so you won't need to rely on your memory about what is my context. I might point out to you that at the bottom, I'm going to speak to you about the recommendations from the Senior Affairs Commission regarding the allocation of funds for this next fiscal year. And the Community Development Block Grant, there's an error in that heading, is in the smallest type, and all we're saying, if I may direct you to that portion of it, that please maintain those funding levels. But I want to begin by the funding under the general funds and ask that you acknowledge, as we do on the commission, the hard work and the burden on the staff of senior services. There are two positions that are funded from the general funds, and we are asking for another position, at least a consideration in your deliberations of at least a part-time position, and that you also consider some sort of merit increment to the people who have had to labor in behalf of this demographic, the senior community. As you know, and everyone knows, it's a common knowledge that it's the fastest growing demographic amongst our community. And in that regard, I'd like to take an aside and say that thank you for your service to the city and for the many communities which actually compose the city. And the funding in the past has included the dental services of $100,000, and we note that $100,000 is also committed under the community block grant, but that allocation is included for both the provision of dental services to children as well as to senior residents. And so it puts us, it seems to me, in a tension, a competitive structure when there need not be. Certainly the formation of the teeth of the our young citizens is important, but that's in the throes of formation of those teeth, whereas when we get to our senior citizens, we're talking about replacement of those teeth. And so we're asking for an allocation that doubles the from the general funds for the provision of those types of services. The older adult employment allocation of $88,000.
Judge, you got about, I'll give you another 30 seconds to kind of summarize. Thank you.
Okay, well, that's administered by the senior source, and they're doing yo person work. We're asking for an increase of 5 zip codes for the medical transportation program because of the volume of calls that have coming from those highlighted 5 zip codes. We're also asking for $100,000 for utility assistance for our senior citizens, and we're also asking, as we did last year, for a $100,000 allocation for emergency home repair. Those that fall outside the auspices of the community block grant to facilitate those kinds of needs when they arise. And I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. Thank you most of all for your consideration.
Thank you, Judge, for your serving the city in your capacity. I appreciate it.
Your next speaker is Chris Watts. Mr. Watts will be followed by Mary Spencer, and then it'll be open to the remaining public.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Watts. I'm the president of the Dallas Companion Animal Project and also serve on the Dallas Animal Service Commission representing District 3. 2 years ago, the battle for animals in Dallas was one that very few people decided that they wanted to take on. 18 months ago, Jody Jones joined the Dallas leadership team in handling Dallas Animal Services. If you look at the increase of the live release rate over the last 18 months, we are actually moving toward the no-kill city, something that we've been wanting to do for quite some time. We're getting there. I'm asking that you look at the line item for animal control officers and actually please release that and allow Jody Jones to have the opportunity to have the support staff that she needs to be able to continue the growth to a no-kill city. I'm not asking for additional funding, just simply allowing her to have that resource to use as she sees the best need. The support staff that we have is good, but we need more. We need people to answer the phones when they call the shelter. We don't have that. We need people to be able to take care of the animals and get them out of the shelter instead of having to just simply clean up after them, and hopefully, you know, we have to run the risk of euthanizing certain dogs. So we don't want that, and we need that support. So if you guys could just lift that junction to the ACOs and allow that money to be used for support staff of any type that Jody Jones sees fit, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Mary Spencer.
Hello, I'm Mary Spencer. I'm chair of the Animal Shelter Commission. I live in District 9 and I represent Mayor Rawlins. On behalf of the Animal Shelter Commission, I first want to thank all of you for hiring and bringing Jody Jones to Dallas to manage the shelter. Since Jody's arrival, more has been accomplished for the animals than ever before. Like Chris said, the live release rate, numbers prove it. For 5 months now, the numbers have, 50% of the animals have gotten out of the city shelter alive through adoption, redemption to the owners, or rescue groups. I'm not sure if you all are aware, but due to Jody's connections in animal welfare on a national level, Dallas Animal Services has received over $400,000 in grants for new technologies, staff training, and for helping our rescue partners. Jody and her team are all definitely taking things to a new level, and this progress in Dallas is being noticed by Dallas residents as well as on a state and national level. It's imperative that we keep this positive momentum going. What Dallas Animal Services needs now from the 2013 budget is support staff. DAS can have all the animal control officers in the world for the field, but without support staff to take care of both the animals and the people, we're not able to meet the community's needs from an animal services perspective. For instance, Dallas Animal Services has 6 phone lines that ring at the shelter, and this is outside of 311, and these should be answered Monday to Friday from 8 to 5, but there is no designated staff to answer these lines. DAS used to have people who did licensing of pets and answered the phones, but those folks were transferred to code. There is no way to shut off the phones, so they are now being answered by temps. And as you know, a phone call is the first impression to animal services, and this needs to be handled by fully trained employees vested in long-term success and in our mission. I get a lot of comments from citizens across Dallas and even from our social media people saying, I tried to call, but I couldn't get an answer. People are emotional about their pets and animal complaints. Not only does DAS not have anyone answering the phones, there's no one in the shelter as a customer service position. DAS needs someone to respond to questions and concerns from citizens calling, visiting, or emailing the shelter. There's no one there as an adoption counselor, lost and found counselors, or intake counselors, or medical counselors. Therefore, we need, phones are answered at the expenses of other areas. We need to get this, and we need it done. People are doing more than one job. They're doing many jobs. It's a juggling act, and we need your help and support to change that. Adding animal service officers at this point will only increase the burden on the existing staff and decrease the quality of service the citizens of Dallas receive. DAS definitely needs support personnel. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Are there any individuals in the public that would like to come up and speak on agenda item number 48? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis, do you have some comments?
Yes, I just wanted to ask Ms. Sum, as when we start the operation grant, capital grant, and trust budget, have y'all also set up the locations for the public hearings?
Not for the community meetings. We will do that as we present the budget. June, July, you'll begin to have those calendars for y'all.
Yeah. All right. We need a motion to close the public hearing. So moved. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Can you clarify who made the motion?
Ms. Margolin.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Agenda item.
I do want to say thank you to our chairs that have come down and expressed your points of view. Thank you very much.
Agenda item number 49 is a public hearing regarding adoption of the 2 points to White Rock East Area Plan, which defines issues, goals, and recommendations related to the planning and implementation for future development in the area bounded by St. Francis Avenue, Honeycutt Road, Lakeland Drive, Ferguson Road, Oates Drive, La Prada Drive, Deansgate Drive, John West Road, Dallas City Limits, and Interstate Highway 30, and a resolution adopting the study. We do have one individual signed up to speak on this item, Robert Prigi. Sir, if you'll please come up to the podium. You'll have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record and address Mayor Rollins.
My name is Robert Prejean. I live at 3310 Fairmont Street here in Dallas, Texas. And I serve as the urban planner on this area plan.
Mayor Rollins and Dallas City Council members, thank you so much for this day. It's been 3 years we've been working on this area plan, and I just want to recognize the members we have from the advisory committee that have been working so many weekends for many months during those three-year period to just kind of recognize them. And they are here today, include Ellen Childress, John Childress, Gus Garcia, Desi Tanner, and Kimberly Humphreys. And if you'll please stand up, raise hand, okay? They've been very dedicated, and I'll tell you, 3 years, we have been looking forward to this day. So thank you very much. We hope that you approve this plan. Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the public?
My name is Wayne Wooden, and I'd like to say that...
if you'll pull your mic down, Ms. Wooden. Thank you.
That I support this. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on agenda item number 49?
Yeah, can I have Ellen? Ellen, can you come down and just talk a little about what you guys did in the process of this, or John, or someone, please?
Ma'am, if you would please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Ellen Childress. I live at 8908 Sorrento, and I'm the coordinator for the Truitt Area Crime Watch. 4 years ago, Carolyn Davis and Vicki Martin with the Ferguson Road Initiative commissioned this land use study. And we started with a pretty good-sized public meeting. We had people who came and went for the next month to see what we were going to do. And as it turned out, I have an 8-member leadership team with Truitt Area Crime Watch. We were the ones who stayed the course. We've had meetings, weekends, nights, whenever we could get to arrange it over 3.5 years. We have had 3 wonderful public meetings. We have put the word out among our business members and churches and schools in our community. Desi Tanner and a couple of other people have walked the entire perimeter of our area to visit with business owners and with people and pastors and churches and let them know what we're doing. We have begun, first of all, with the Crime Watch, because when people first came to the meeting, they were talking about nothing but crime, crime, crime. And at that time, even I was not aware of the fact that we were considered one of the 5 top worst violent crime areas in the United States, not just Dallas. Now we're one of the lowest. And now that people no longer talk about crime, they're talking about what can we do about quality of life. We have a lot of senior citizens. We have a wonderful elementary school that we've taken on as Friends of Truitt. We have managed to turn it around. We've got 1,170 wonderful children with 18 languages represented. And I think we're probably going to see a new school coming out of this. As it happens, I don't have children, but all of us belong to the PTA. We've managed to salvage that. And we're looking at the new action plan, because the action plan we started with our land use study, which, by the way, the plan commission and planners here for the city calls War and Peace, because it was 300 pages. But we had photographs, we've got ideas for what we want, we have land that we want to see utilized in some ways for our older people. Every time I drive by one particular spot, I can visualize a bunch of little bungalows with front porches for some of our older people to live. We're getting there, and we're going to be establishing a new action plan now and working forward from this today, and we thank you so much for your consideration. We want to thank the Plan Commission, we didn't get to before, for the work they helped us with, and the planners in Teresa O'Donnell's office. We have had some wonderful support with the city. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ms. Davis, for asking to come down. That's great. Any other? Okay. With that, I will entertain a motion to close the public hearing, and I'll let Ms. Davis do that and then come to you. Mr.
Mayor, I want to thank you. I want to thank Alan and the Two Point Neighborhood Association. Thank you guys for coming down. Thank you for hanging in here with the city for the last 4 years. It took about 4 years to get all of this done. We had many, many meetings. I want to thank everyone who's not here for coming out to the meetings. And I also want to thank FRI for their support in the things that they've done to make this real. What this two-point or this land use study would do, it will help with infrastructure, work on some zoning change, school improvement, streetscaping, lighting. It will strengthen the crime watch. We have a new fire station that's going to be in that area, and it will help with wayfinders. Now, on item 49, I will move to close the public hearing and approve the agenda item 49, adopting the 2 points to White Rock East Area Plan as a reference and a guide to benefit the citizens of this community. Thank you so much.
Second. Have a motion second. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to applaud those citizens who have been involved in this process and stuck with it all those years. Back in the early 90s, I did an update of the Far North Dallas Land Use Plan. It took multiple years. It took so much dedication from basically a core group of people. It starts with a lot of folks, but there's a core group of people that get it done with support from others. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. I totally applaud what you have done with this. I applaud Ms. Davis because you need the support of a council member, and she has been supportive, obviously, in this. So I just wanted to add my congratulations to you, and I just know you're going to get good results from this. So bravo.
Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Congratulations. And to the Leadership Council, much good work, and I know great progress will come with this. You know, we here at City Council, we know what a difference it makes when you have a strong, united neighborhood, and that's what makes the difference, because that just sews the fabric of the neighborhood quilt together, whether it's, you know, your crime reduction, your strong neighborhoods, your good schools, and that's what brings you know, your property values up. It's like I said, it just brings a very strong neighborhood. And by the way, you have a great post office over there on Ferguson. Thank you.
Thank you. And I will say, I never like to compare neighborhoods in Dallas because I get in trouble being the mayor. But you guys have one of the strongest and hardest working and most optimistic areas in the city. I mean, there's no question. So thank you so much for what you do. So we have a motion and second.
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any opposed?
No.
Motion is carried. Ms. Davis.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. I would also like to thank the planning department and my commissioner, as well as working with them with the planning, the whole planning commission, just not her, but I want to thank them as well for what they have done. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Can you clarify who made the second, please?
It was Ms. McDonald.
Thank you very much.
Well,
We do have agenda item 40 left to
say. Right. I know. What are we going to do about our item?
Agenda item 40?
40.
I think the group is out in the hallway. They'll have to come in, please.
While we're doing that, let me give the microphone to Ms. Margolin. This afternoon is an important a day for the Dallas Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Ms. Margolin is the vice chair of that.
Yes, today is the launch of a new branding campaign for the City of Dallas on behalf of the
Dallas Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is implementing it and paying for it. The new brand, the tagline is Dallas, Big Things Happen Here. And you're going to start seeing the CVB with additional money that it has through the new PID advertise around Dallas and also around the United States. But what's important today is to know that there is going to be a launch party, great festivities at AT&T Plaza in Victory Park. There's going to be free live music with performances by Professor D, Vocal Trash, and DJ Michael Jerome. I do not want to miss Vocal Trash. There will be free food. There will be free giveaways. It's going to be a great event from 4 to 8 at the Plaza at Victory, and we hope that everybody will come. Thank you.
You know, I want to say that as an old marketer, the most important salespeople this city have are citizens. And that's why this group is doing that. Thank you for your leadership. Ms. Alonzo has joined the CVB as well, the board, so appreciate your leadership as well as we move this campaign forward. Thank you. Ms. Coop?
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor. Item number 40 was on the consent agenda, but I asked for it to be pulled off so that we could discuss it now. But I see the applicant there, and if the applicant would just come down. I'm sorry Ms. Johnson's not in here right now, but we were waiting for her to come, and that's why we postponed it for an hour and a half. If the applicant would kind of just run us through kind of the history of this case and tell us where it's located and that kind of thing, I think the council would be interested in hearing that.
Sure. Thank you very much. Hi, my name is Rob Baldwin. I office at 3904 Elm Street, Suite B here in Dallas, and I'm representing the King of Glory Church, which is on the north side of 635, just west of Hillcrest. During the widening of 635, the first 30 feet of the property there got taken, and along with all about 48 parking spaces. King of Glory Church has been working with the neighborhood for a little bit more than a year and a half to try to replace those parking spaces, and we have come up with a plan to do a surface parking lot just to the west of our existing parking lot. We have full neighborhood support. In fact, we thought we had full neighborhood support until I guess we got a letter. I found out about it about 7 o'clock last night that Ms. Johnson had a concern about what we were proposing to do. We first tried to contact Ms. Johnson in 2010, and then we've been sending letters to her about all the meetings that we've had, and based on the Miss Johnson is up talking with Mr. Caraway.
You know, she needs to be in the chambers.
Okay, yeah, we need to get this going.
Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway.
Can I just one second? Ms. Coop, and they are discussing.
I know, but we got to go, Dwayne. We've been waiting all afternoon for
all right,
this.
If we could just 5 minutes, let them have this 5 minutes.
Okay, let's pick our afternoon speakers, and we'll come back and finish this, okay? Thank you. Seriously, as soon as we're over, we're going to take a vote on this. Let's do afternoon speakers. Mike's not on.
Your afternoon speakers are going to begin with Daryl Kobe, Arun Kumar, Stephen Lewis, and Lakeisha Johnson. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer on the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. Again, your first speaker is Daryl Kobe. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Daryl Kobe, 4826 Apricot Street. I'm coming to hear you because you've left DART, Dallas Area Rapid Transit, unattended. You've turned around, and we have visitors here nationally, internationally, and they are an embarrassment to this state, to this country, to the international community. I've been dealing with DART since 2009 with the drivers leaving passengers behind. I met with them last night and told them that I am coming to this meeting tonight, and you need to get an FBI agents in and seize hard drives or whatever, because every time I've been there, I've talked to Mr. Spiller, Mr. Gary, Mr. Tim Newby, Mr. Reynolds, the whole board, all the boards, whereas the African-American driver turned around and approached me and told me that he's sick of me, and if he was not in his blues, that he would take care of me just like some of the other bus drivers. As a backup, that I thank God for this whole situation, the union called me and wanted me to come in and sit in on a DART meeting because that was one of their drivers trying to get his job back, involving a white man calling that driver the N-word. And that driver turned around and responded back with the N-word. He was terminated. But I have been dealing with them all of this time. Like I say, my main goal is to get these, priority one, you need some inspectors, some permanent inspectors inspecting DART. Right now, on the schedule, it says buses marked not in service or out of service cannot stop to board passengers. They've been doing it since January 2012. There's some kind of mix-up, whereas they're trying to use this new technology with the mapping and guiding system on their buses, and it's not working with the old buses. When we recessed this morning, the one new bus number 39044, it had no sign, no kind of language, no. I asked the driver, he said it's number one, Wynwood. And so when we've got just the regular customers in town, we need to know what these bus numbers are. And I gave some information to the media earlier, and I'm holding that information on what they really did that hurt me, that no one should have to endure. There's an elderly lady, approximately 70 years old, that the bus driver saw this lady coming, and she came on the bus and asked him to use the handicap lift, and he turned around. She asked him three times.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Arun Kumar.
Thank you, Mayor, for taking the time to listen to some of the concerns. My name is Arun Kumar. I live in Valley Ranch for the last 15 years, since 1998. And my concern, what I want to talk about is, as a community we live in, which is Valley Ranch, and we have sent about 800 emails to the city, Dallas City Council, especially on the proposal for the fracking, which is through the Cypress. And what I want to talk about is four different areas. One is the process concerns and the property value and health within the community and some historical concerns. And thank you for taking the time to listen to me. And first thing is I wanted to talk about the fracking process. And I come in from environmental consulting company and Safety Clean, where we look at the wastewater treatment, and if it's not done right, especially the acid being used, and how are they going to dispose the water, what is the controls they're going to put in the contractors, and what measures they're going to have for the whole process of fracking, what happens down the when they dig it. And I want to talk about against the fracking process, especially the city already has approved the ordinance to go ahead and do the fracking without consulting with a lot of our community members. A lot of us don't know. So we've been sending a lot of emails and through the campaign fund, but it's just something for us to take it seriously, to take the community's point of view and what kind of grass is going to come long term. And we have houses which are maybe thousands of houses, and there is an impact to the children, and we have a lot of young children in the community, and it's just another piece is that, especially down by the Rancho Drive, it's kind of a flood zone where the properties, there's a lot of construction going on, but in that area, that's where they want to do the fracking, but I'm not sure the Valley Ranch itself, it's a lot of hilly areas, and so you got some real flood zone potential issues, and I'm not sure what's the long-term implication. Maybe 30 years from now when you start doing the fracking, nobody knows the reliability of the whole fracking process. And so within the residential community, when the whole fracking process goes on, we have a concern where potential crime and other pieces could come in. That's something I just wanted to point out, if we can get some extra. There's a lot of construction going on. We can see a lot of crime rates going up. So there's already that concern. So I just wanted to put those pieces in, and also the vibration when they do the process, what is going to happen to the foundation? How are they going to control it? And what measures are city going to take in place? And how are you going to communicate with City of Irving? And how are they going to be a part of the approval process? How is the community going to be? I'm part of the HOA, and we have no idea what's going to happen. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Stephen Lewis. Stephen Lewis. Not present. Lakeisha Johnson. Ms. Johnson is going to be followed by William Hopkins, Ozumba Lunx, Richard Sheridan, Lakoya Linden, Gwen Wooten, and David Williams. If you are one of the names that were called, if you would please come closer to the podium.
My name is Lakeisha Johnson. I live at 1716 Triangle Place, apartment 1226. I'm here because I feel like I have told that I could not renew my lease. As why the mayor didn't even give me a reason why. The only thing he told me is up to the corporate office. I went in there 3 times to ask him, because I've been there 4 years. This is his first year at the property. I asked him why. He never gave me an answer. So I got tired of playing games, and I called my case worker, because my battery was about to run out. I come back to my case because she said, after your battery run out, you have to stay where you are. So I went in there, I told him that I wanted to do another year. Okay, he kept avoiding me. So every time we're going there, I just said, why can't we do my lease? I never got an answer. So finally I said, is it due to alcohol housing because I had electrical problems and I didn't want to fix it? I never got an answer. Never told. Finally my caseworker, she called. 12 months. She never got an answer. He could not tell her one reason why I could not renew my lease. Only thing that he told her, I want her to move. And to me, that's not a good answer. Because I was there before him. And I have not gotten out one word or nothing. But I think it's because of who I know and because of. But she here to call you. I think I really think it's because of her. Because they kept comparing me to her. I kept getting bitten because of her. So if she moved, they did the same thing to me. So I'm like, well, that's how y'all did her. So now y'all going to me. And I can ask them, why don't I have a reason why I had to move? I cannot get one. So I need to know what do I need to do to get a reason. Because I have not got not one write up. I have not got no complaints. And I've been there 4 years. And I make one complaint about the electrical problem. Now I got to move. And can't write him why. And I need to know why. And every time I would ask the manager, he would not be in the office, or he would abort me. And I asked him a full time, and I cannot get an answer. And I need an answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker is William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins is going to be followed by Ozumba Lunt, Richard Sheridan, Lakoya London, Gwayne Wooten, and David Williams.
Hand out some papers, Mayor Rollins, to you again. These are the same papers I gave you the first day that you was here, Mayor Rollins. Come down here the first day you was here. In June, you'll be here 2 years. You done sit here for 2 years and with this court order, they finna pass out again. In June, you'll be here 2 years, Mayor Rollins. You done sit here and let my friends die from lead. This court order say this is a public health program for individuals that's residing in the effective area, Mayor Rollins. This was a court order. This court order has been in effect since 1983. Now, Craig Watkins, the FBI finna investigate him for a court order. Him and Lisa Blue, Fred Byron, and Bud White down at the county. By him being black, they finna investigate him. But by y'all being white, y'all can sit on the court order since 1983. This is a court order, Miss Grayson, that they finna give y'all, that the city have been sitting on, lying, saying they didn't have nothing to do with the lead. I gave you the letter already, Mayor Rollins, where the city say they didn't have nothing to do with the lead. William, we didn't have nothing to do with it, and this and that. And then I find the court order after 10 or 12 years later, Mayor Rollins, I find the court order where the city sued the RSR lead. First they lied to me and told me they didn't have nothing to do with it, Mayor Rollins. And then I find the lawsuit where the city sued them. Got the money and kept it, let the people die. So when the blacks died, Mayor Rollins, this is the plan. Then y'all gonna come in with this Trinity River thing and, you know, with your boats and your golf courses and all this here and use the blacks' money that y'all already done sued for, Mayor Rollins. Here go the court order. FBI know it, but by y'all being white, they don't go after nobody but blacks. Al Liscomb, O'Donhill. But if you white, you can sit on the court order, the same court order, since 1983. But if you Craig Watkins, the FBI finna come and investigate you, him and Lisa Blue, Fred Byron wife, right down there now. But if you white, the FBI won't come, Mayor Rollins. They'll let the blacks die, and they finna let Tom Perkins leave. Tom Perkins makes $250,000 a year. And he finna run and go somewhere? And them fracking people, I'm gonna tell you something else, Mayor Rollins. The gas drilling people, when they first came, they gave the city millions of dollars. They lied and said they weren't going to drill on the parks, weren't going to drill in West Dallas. West Dallas is under super fund from the EPA. Now, I don't know if they white or the Ku Klux Klan. I don't know what the EPA is to make them let us die and not say nothing about the super fund we under and let y'all spend our money, Mayor Rollins, and that way the EPA get to keep their money they got ours and the city get to keep the money. And this is the lawsuit, Mayor Rollins. A court order since 1983, but they down there at the county for Craig Watkins, the FBI. But if you white, they won't come. Look like.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Ozumba Lunt.
My name is Minister in Chief of the Texas Afro-American Igbo Tribe, Ozumba Lunt. Our motto is liberty, equality, and justice for all. Mayor, I'm not going to call any name, but, let me start off like this. United States of America. Laws are very diverse, and they change from state to state. How can it be the United States when laws are not united? We're inconsistent with a lot of things, consistent with some. Just like now, everybody coming to West Dallas, just like it did in North Dallas. I remember North Dallas was all black. Now you got condominiums over there that cost about $1,000 a month for a bathroom over there. You can put a bed in. But, you know, I remember when I went to Booker T. Washington. I'll be 67 years old this May the 13th. Self-defense I'm looking at, you know, and we need to do something about that, women, men, and anytime you attack, the aggressor shouldn't have any rights. Forget it. He tried to kill you. So why you want to take up with somebody to jump you or jump a person? I see peace officer, KKK neo-Nazi, coming to the police force. I see these type guys come to the police force now. And a lot of them, since there's a few of them now, they'll come to the police force and get in criminal justice to rule over people. I joined an NRA lifetime member now. You the Jewett Angela. I joined Law Shield. I'm going to be working with some more organizations to try to change the self-defense law to make it even better for people who mind their own business and get jumped or people misabused. Nobody that come up and jump a person should have any right. No right at all. Where I read the Bible and understand it, I have a right to protect my country, my family, and myself. And that's what I do. Like I told you, I don't mess with nobody. I don't want nobody jumping on me and abusing me. I have someone here. I'm a chief and minister of my tribe. And also, I don't need anybody here to tell me anything. I have a person here to try to tell me stuff. He's in this audience right now. And I want him to never say nothing to me again. Don't tell me anything. Don't give me no suggestions or anything. I don't know you. Foxes do not run with chickens. Chickens do not run with foxes. I'm not trying to be funny, but, you know, I'm just doing a little scenario here. So just mind your own business. You know, leave me alone. Ozuma don't need you to tell them what to do. My mother and daddy don't tell me what to do. You understand me? But they're not living now. Because I have a right to say what I think is right and what God want me to say and do. And this is what I do. I don't need your money. I don't take money. I don't do stuff like that. And I try to be an honest person. And being honest has always called me to get accused all through my life. From the military back home, I've been accused of so many things, but yet I still don't have a felony. And I'm tired of being accused because I'm black or poor or what. I'm sick of it, man. We need to get this thing together if we're going to live together. God bless you all. Have a nice day. And my man out here, don't say nothing to me no more, man. I don't even know you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Richard Sheridan.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Richard Sheridan. Live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. It's a wonderful time of the year. I recently asked, again, a 2013 Easter message. I recently asked an eight-year-old what was Easter about, and her immediate response was that it was about the Easter bunny and Easter eggs. And then she continued and said that it was about Jesus' death and resurrection. So there from the mouth of a child comes the truth of where we are today. Just like the major political parties divide us, so we are divided over the significance of the event of a man of great significance to humanity. As over 2.2 billion Christians believe, that's nearly one-third of the world's population of 7 billion people. Many in other faiths as well believe that Jesus was a great spiritual man who brought great spiritual truth to mankind to further their understanding of the battle of good versus evil. The Jewish religion's sacred book, the Torah, is the first five books of the Old Testament, part of the Christian Bible. Christianity grew out of Judaism, and there is still a close relationship with the two religions. The Muslim faith recognizes Jesus as a great prophet. Is there any relationship between what happened at the time of Jesus and the events of today? Are there many Christians, many Semites, who today have fallen away from God's laws and suffering the economy and our social dysfunction today? Is there a foreign federal government like the Romans, whose rule we question daily, which is opposing us with its corruption manifested in immoral genocide wars, an unconstitutional monetary system, and an almost complete lack of will in defending we the people from all enemies, foreign and domestic? Locally, does Dallas County have a Herod? Is Dallas City Hall a modern-day Sanhedrin, a quasi-government religious body? The Bible is a contemporary document that should teach us how to conduct ourselves in the context of the situation we are in the sometimes major moral challenges we face daily. There were Jeremiah, Gideon, Daniel, Joseph, David, Moses, John the Baptist, and Jesus. We celebrate Jesus this week for his resurrection and for his messages of hope and empowerment, and for the Christian religions upon which his words and works are based. However, Jesus' greatest words, I believe, what I have done, ye shall do, and even greater things, are perhaps most confusing words for many Christians, believe that actions, not works, for many Christians believe that faith alone and not works are required for salvation. Revelation 20:12 is clear on the need for good works. I pray that people of all faiths, of all religions, come to understand that Jesus' true but hidden message, which is that the second coming is not an individual, but a collective event of a mass consciousness, a mass of people of unknown numbers, of people of all religions, or of no religion, with a particular goodness factor. These are the wheat amongst us, with a vibration to achieve a consciousness of love, unity, forgiveness, a Christ consciousness which will light the world, light up cities, and rid us of the predators and separate out the tare who hide in the darkness. and have ruled us for centuries. This is the promise of Revelation 20, 21, 22. Thank you, God, and thank you, God, for Jesus. And Mayor Mike Rawlins, our KF is today. Your days are numbered, sir. And I'm leaving.
Your next speaker, LaKoya London.
Hello, I'm LaKoya London, 1753 Mockingbird. Okay, I'm here as I am in protest. I am here, Mr. Mayor, about the ballot area, too. Okay, I was lied to. Now, all the blood and sweat my grandparents put in this country. There is no people of color on the ballot in Area 2. And it has been planned that way, and I want to know why. I had 25 signatures, and I was told that I had 23. Rosa Rios was the person who did, you know, my paperwork. Now, on my arrival, I asked her, would she do a recount? And what she told me was no. So, I want to know what happened to the democratic process that we supposed to really have, you know. I had all seniors to sign my ballot. All seniors. And the seniors the one who wanted me to get on the ballot, actually. So, Mr. Mayor, I just want to know, would you like to see my ballot? Because, you know, I'm going to take it to the election department tomorrow, but I asked this lady just for a recount. That's all I asked for. And I told her to really look at it. But she told me no, what was done, and that was it. So I've been hearing that I agreed to this, not being, whatever she said I agreed to not being on the ballot and everything was done. I did not. I didn't agree to do anything. I asked for a recount because this is supposed to be a democracy. That's what I was told. You know, and this is not a democracy if she don't do a recount. Now, I asked her how many people were not on the ballot that didn't go through. She told me 8. When I came back, this is what the seniors told me. They said, Ms. London, when you get back, they're going to tell you that it's more. And when I got back, she told me it was one more. She said, oh, I forgot this name right here. He's not in your district either. So what I did, I went back to the neighborhood again, along with a lot of seniors, and come to find out, a 77-year-old lady was not counted for, and then a 67-year-old man was not counted for. We have a problem with that because they were seniors. I can understand if a 30-year-old person was not counted for that hadn't really been voting, but the point is, these people been voting for a long time, been living in the Arlington Park area for over 30 years. Ms. McDaniels lived in the area for 30 years. So I have a problem with that when the seniors are not being counted. I have a problem when the veterans are not being counted. I got a problem with that, you know. So I would like to show you my ballot. You know, they asked me to show you. They said, take it to the mayor, Ms. London, and let him see it. Because she didn't do it right. It's not that hard to count the 25. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to count the 9 either. You know, she told me it was 8 and it was 9. So it's sad that some seniors told me that this was going to happen, and it did. So I would like to show you my ballot. Is that possible? Can I show you that today?
Thank you. You can give it to these folks. I'll look at it.
Okay, thank you.
The next speaker is Wayne Wooten.
Good afternoon. My name is Wayne Wooten. I live at 1000 Grisby, Dallas, Texas. I was also a candidate for District 2. I think I missed it by 4, but I wasn't finna go into all that cause it. And I'd drive y'all crazy if I was up here with y'all in a back room. Y'all be running away from me. But anyway, and I was the person you told me that Miss London had agreed with that Rosa, and I didn't know she was running. So I went out there trying to help somebody run for office, and I went in there and I got scared. I ran away from him. I can't do that. Y'all terrible. It's terrible what's going on out here. Y'all ought to be shaming y'allself. Miss Mondrani, you know I've been with y'all family for years, ever since your father. We march in the street. Robert, you know, we don't always agree. And one thing I ain't agreeing with is this canvassing thing. You got Mayor Rollins. That's a conflict of interest. I mean, you can't do that in Washington, D.C. I know y'all trying to make this the House of Representatives in the Senate, but it ain't going to work down here. This is almost grassroots. You got to get to the community. If you're going to have an ad hoc committee, Ms. Mondrano cannot chair that committee. How is she going to chair the committee and her nephew is running for office? Now, you know, and I know, that you're going to get perks. If you cook in the kitchen, you get treats. You know what I'm saying? And that's a conflict of interest right there. And I want to tell the African-American citizens, because the Urban League, the NAACP, ain't none of y'all doing what you're supposed to be doing and getting money to do it for, with. Tell these people not to tear off that right side of the card, the voter's registration card. That's where the most important information is. That's where you find out where your districts are, your city council, your congressman, your county commission. That's the important part of it, because the other side of the card got all the information you know. It's the right side of the card that has the information that you need concerning politics. And I think the Urban League and all you black leaders in this city need to start teaching our people this, your constituents. You need to get more than 2,000 or 3,000 people voting for you. This redistricting is crazy, because I thought I was in District 2, found out I was across the street from District 14, so I know that I have had signatures from District 14. I didn't get a map because y'all charged for everything. But that's crazy what y'all did with this redistricting stuff. And Mary Sue making $300,000 a year to hire temps to work for this city with no benefits need to stop. She make more money than the President of the United States of America, and this building is empty. I don't know who she's supervising. I've been here since before they built it. And she needs to get a cut in salary. She really needs to be fired. Everybody know I want her gone. And you don't make motions, Chair. You ask for motions. You don't do that. And that's just a little bit of what I wanted to tell y'all. And council members, I was told that y'all are supported by the Citizen Council, African Americans.
Thank you.
And if y'all are supported by the Citizen Council, I lay the Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
I know no black folks down here belong to
please.
The Ku Klux Klan.
Please, Ms. Wooten. Ms. Wooten, you're done. Thank
but
you.
But for real, Mayor, it's the Citizen Council, the Ku Klux Klan.
Next speaker.
Your next speaker is David Williams.
Ollie. I'm finna go, but Ollie.
Hey, I know. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is David Williams. I live on 6331 Silver Moon Drive, Dallas, Texas 75241. Thank you for this opportunity. In God we trust. Thank you for this opportunity. In God we trust. Meeting with the Director of Parks and Recreation. Thank you, Mr. Willis and Mr. John. I am honored to be asked to serve as a youth ambassador for Parks and Recreation. The youth that will join the Junior Board of Directors of CR Kids is excited and on fire for this opportunity. We have started a planning committee to get the ball rolling. Future meeting with Council Member Mr. Carroll.
Oh, man, you just messed up there.
Awaiting the rescheduling of a council meeting yesterday, I have many great ideas from both my peers and teachers to offer. Meeting with my peers. Alternatives for teachers carrying handguns, thermal cameras at every school entrance, Tony Burns, 6th grade. unarmed security guards at every school entrance, Zipporah Ritchie, 6th grade. Metal detectors at every school entrance, myself, David Williams, 6th grade. What are ways we can keep youth motivated to maintain a hygienic community? Keep recycling bins at every park, Zipporah Ritchie, 6th grade. Teachers' interviews. Some alternatives could be guards at school entrances, metal detectors at entrances, stricter penalties for students who bring guns to school, such as removal from school and placement in juvenile detention facilities, and severe penalties for parents of students who bring guns to school. Linda Orkin, 6th grade, math teacher. Future meetings needed. I invite Mrs. Hill to meet with me about the youth leadership program she spoke of in January after returning from Washington. I challenge you, Mayor, to meet with myself and other youth impacted by domestic violence about resolutions to reduce the numbers of families impacted. Solutions to counter members' rude behavior. Problem: talking on their cell phones. Solutions: a list for immediate council business. Take all calls before, after, or during a break. Problem: eating during meetings. Solution: please eat before, after, or during your lunch break. Problem: frequent walking. Mayor powers during city council meeting. Solution: according to city charter, Mr. Rawlings, you can exercise your power to call a short recess if needed. Solution: as mayor, it would be nice to have a response to questions from your constituents. Be it resolved, as new president of Sequence Enterprise Entertainment and our kids, junior board of directors, I look forward to learning keys to successful leadership through my local city council members.
We got a problem.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your afternoon speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Williams, and I will be glad to meet with some students that have been impacted by domestic violence. Love to. Thank you.
I just want to give him this, Mayor, okay, real quick, and then we can get to our item. Mr. Williams, if you would kindly come.
You want him to talk more about you?
Well, yeah, he's my friend.
Yeah. Come up.
We want to present you with this little picture that we took while you're sitting up with us, with the Dallas City Council. We've autographed this for you. With you, all right? That's you in the middle of it. All right. You even get some ears to go with it. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Williams, and thank you, Mr. Caraway. All right, one last item. Ms. Coop, are we ready?
I think we're ready.
Okay,
thank you,
why don't
Mayor.
We read
thank
the you. Why don't we read the item
okay,
into the record?
Right.
Item number 40 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a plan development district for residential and church uses on property zoned plan development district number 78 and an R16A single family district on the north side of Lyndon B. Johnson Freeway between Ridgeview Circle and Hughes Lane.
Thank you, Ms. Coop.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, and the Council for your indulgence in bringing this up. When it was brought up previously on the consent agenda, Ms. Johnson wasn't here, so we held the item, and that's how come it's returning at the end of the meeting. I just wanted to briefly tell the Council a little bit about the item, and I want Ms. Johnson to speak for just a few minutes, and then if there are some comments that the church wants to make, that would be great, too. This item is... I'll speak to the zoning item in particular. The zoning item had to do with what Mr. Baldwin said. When LBJ was widened, they came in and they took some of the property from all the property owners on the north side of LBJ. As a matter of fact, some on the south side as well. That's been an issue for many years, dating back for 4 or 5 years, this taking of the property. Because of that, the church was then underparked. So they went and they bought some property along that faced LBJ, and they came in and wanted to make that into an addition to their parking. That happened about 2 years ago, and the neighborhood contacted me, and they were not in favor of that. So for 2 years, the church and the neighborhood had been working with my plan commissioner, had been working out the details of how the church can get within the parking regulations. Various things were submitted, obviously, off-site parking, bus shuttles, all sorts of things. They finally came to a conclusion, went to Plan Commission. They deferred it for 4 months at Plan Commission while they further refined it with the neighborhood, and the Plan Commission passed it unanimously. And that's why it was on consent today, which typically means, for those of you in the audience, it just goes through without it being pulled off for comment and that kind of thing. Although you can make comments on it, it doesn't go into a full-blown hearing process like the other ones would be for individual consideration. I know Ms. Johnson is upset. She found out yesterday that her property was next to this property. I talked to Ms. Johnson this morning after asking some questions, technical questions of the church and of the staff. I want to hear what Ms. Johnson has to say today, but to go back just 1 second, Ms. Johnson in her letter has indicated that she wanted the church to buy out her property in all good conscience and, I think, in ethics too. I cannot request that as a zoning condition. So I want to hear what Ms. Johnson has to say, and I certainly want to hear what the church has to say. I told Ms. Johnson nothing really that they both had said persuaded me to change my opinion of the case today, which was to act affirmatively to affirm the Plan Commission's recommendation. But I certainly want to give Ms. Johnson an opportunity to talk, because I think all citizens deserve that ability the ability to be able to come up and talk to the council and make their case. So, Ms. Johnson, if you'd join us, please, I would appreciate that. And by the way, Ms. Johnson apparently has had an accident or had some surgery on her back, and that was why she was unable to respond or had the information delivered to her. She was unable to get the information. She was out of the state for the last 2 years. So I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council, good afternoon. I appreciate you taking the time. I'm not against the church acquiring additional parking spaces. I'm only concerned about the damage that it's doing to my property value. And this was a residential building site, which has now been rendered an unfavorable site. It will be virtually an island. It'll have walls on both sides, on two sides, and it would be of little value to any potential buyer. I only learned of this yesterday because I sent, this is a letter that came from the City of Dallas that arrived at my house only yesterday. It was sent to an old post office box that I had in Arizona, and I sent through recently a change of address, and it finally got to me. But the church representatives say they are willing to negotiate, but a yes vote here today will mean that I will be in a severely weakened position to ask for a buyout or anything else from the church. I'm not against the proposal. As I said, I'm only asking for a postponement so that we can try to work out something. This will mean the difference between struggle and survival for me, having just overcome a catastrophic illness and nearly dying. I had to come out of retirement to go back to work to pay some of my medical bills. And I have to say that I was reachable. A Dallas television station, which wanted to hire me, found me in a matter of weeks on my cell phone. That cell phone number has not changed in the last 10 years. My homestead property is here in Dallas. And I've been found by other people on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and other avenues. As I said, I'm not asking that the church be denied what it wants to do here. I'm just asking that we have time to negotiate something without weakening my position or putting me in a position where I really have nothing to maneuver with. I think if you would grant me time, I'd like a speedy resolution to this. I'm not wanting to hold up the church's progress. And I think with a no vote today that I believe as a Christian that I can deal with a Christian organization and come to a speedy, fair resolution for all involved, and I would ask for your assistance in that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson.
Could the church come up and make a response to that?
Good afternoon. Again, this is Rob Baldwin. We understood that Ms. Johnson had this property, and as early as 2010, the church had contacted her realtor to say we were interested in purchasing her property when she'd like to talk with us. The response the realtor relayed back to us was that she had our contact information, and she would be talking to us when she if she wanted to. Since that time, we've sent out letters based on the DCAT information, which is the same address that the city of Dallas uses, inviting her to meetings, you know, trying to engage her in the process, and we have not heard her. We didn't think we needed to find her because we thought we already found her, because all the letters we sent to her never got returned except for one certified letter that was never picked up from the post office. We have left messages on her cell phone, so we just assumed that she did not want to talk to us. We have done really hard work getting all neighborhood support for this, and we ask that you support the CPC recommendation this afternoon.
Can I have the city attorney come up for a second?
Yes, ma'am.
You want to introduce yourself?
John Rogers, the city attorney's office.
Thank you. It sounds to me like Ms. Johnson is saying she wants time to negotiate the buyout of her property, but I cannot make that as a condition of the zoning. I've already talked to the city attorney's office. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the application here is to rezone the property that the church owns. The lot that Ms. Johnson owns is not part of the application, so we can't really control who purchases that property or when it gets purchased or how much it gets purchased for. I mean, the only thing that you as council are ruling on today is the land use appropriateness of the application that the church has filed.
Right. And that's what I was trying to explain to Ms. Johnson, although I sympathize with your cause, and I would ask the church to work with you. I don't know what the resolution might be. I really don't. You indicated to me you might want to put a house there. Our staff is willing to work with you. No, you were just, okay. That was just something that came out. Yeah, I know how that is. Sometimes you're talking and you're running through ideas.
The church is committed to continue to just open dialogue with Ms. Johnson.
Okay. Do you feel like that she has a diminished position now? I mean, I wouldn't want you to take advantage of someone because of this situation. So I just want to make sure that on the record you say that you don't feel her position is diminished, or if you do, tell me.
I think the widening of the LBJ freeway diminished everybody's position all along LBJ, and that's nothing that we brought on. We're very open to talking about the type of fence or buffering between our two properties, which could result in her, you know, not being feeling like her property's in a box. There's a sound wall along her south property line, which was put up by TxDOT. We have no control over that. So, right. You know, her property is no different condition than it is the property right across the street from her.
Right. Is the church looking to enter into some conversation with her about her property?
I'm sure.
About the purchase of her property?
Yeah, they're definitely willing to keep the conversations open, because, you know, I can't speak for the church on their plans. I'm their zoning consultant. But, you know, they're going to be there for a while, and they want to be a good neighbor, and they don't,
sure.
You know, that's, and they're a Christian organization, and they're going to treat everybody fairly.
Yeah, and I've found this to be the case, colleagues, that they've been very fair with the neighborhood. They've tried to work with the neighborhood and the neighbors and the property owners along there. I'm going to go ahead and recommend approval of this, but what I would like you to do, Susan, do you have something you want to say? Oh, okay. Oh, well, yeah, they can speak. They're allowed to speak, right, on the zoning case?
Yes, they are.
Okay. How many people want to speak? One person. Okay, fine. 3 minutes, please.
Good Thank you. My name is Amy Monier. I live at 6625 Ridgeview Circle, and I represent the neighborhood group that has worked for 2 years to have a resolution to this situation. And the church has even gone to the lengths where they have bought additional property from what they originally thought they would need to make this an entrance to the neighborhood and to work it so it would work for both of us. So I hope that you would consider adopting this resolution, because the church was bent over backwards to work with the neighborhood. Thank you.
The next step after approval of the, if it's approved today, is they have to, Teresa, they have to put in their site plan and a landscape plan.
Yes, ma'am, they do have a detailed development plan.
They already have one?
Yes.
Do they have to come back to council or plan commission?
Well, the detailed development plan gets approved through the plan commission.
Okay. So there is that step there that I think, you know, gives you some comfort and buffer that it does have to come back through another approval, Ms. Johnson. So what I would ask of, like I said, this group is a terrific group to work with. What I'd ask to do is for this group to work with Ms. Johnson, try to come to a resolution. I don't know what that might be. I don't even propose to know what that might be, but to work with her in earnest, and I think that they will. And it does come back to Plan Commission, so I think you do have an opportunity to have your voice heard one more time in a public setting. I respect your profession and what you've done. You have a very good reputation. I do feel very badly about this, because I can tell you are in a great deal of pain, and the surgery on your back, I hope, was successful. But colleagues, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to, sometimes, you know, it doesn't appear that, when we have all the information, it's hard decisions. So I'm going to move approval of the item.
Motion to approve. A second? We have a second discussion. Mr. Goodane.
Thank you, Mr. Baldwin. I would also, and if it's okay with you, Ms. Coop, for them to have that same conversation with Mr. Lee Drain. Do you know Mr. Drain?
I don't, but I'm
He's
happy.
He's part of the neighborhood there also, who's been adamantly against this parking lot.
Okay.
And I'll be more than happy to get his number for you. Do you have it? Okay. Okay. Well, if you'd okay, maybe try to work through him also, I'd appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ms. Coop.
Thank you, Mr. Goodane. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me thank Ms. Coop, for your leadership in, one, putting this off this morning, because this was on this morning's agenda until you had an opportunity to have Ms. Johnson here. I also want to say thank you, Ms. Coop, for letting me intervene to the point, Mayor, of trying to bring the church, the pastor, into the back, the pastor here, in order to talk about it, to see if there were resolutions at all possible, and Ms. Johnson. We then, of course, went upstairs so that the parties could come together, so that this council could have an opportunity to bring these parties together, and that's what we needed to do, so that they could discuss where we would go from here if anything was possible. So, Pastor and the church, thank you all for that. Ms. Johnson, thank you. I think it still would be interested to know that, and this is to the church, if you leave the property there, and I know you all are going to get together, but I would suggest that you look at the possible use that would be allowed on her lot that she has, because it could be that it may be better to get it while you can and put this behind us versus something else popping up that would be unwarranted and uncomplimentary of what we're doing at the church. It could be a situation that could be pleasant. I'm not trying to advocate anything. I'm just trying to kind of fast forward to let you all know that certain things can take place on certain properties that could be something that we do not want next to the church. So take that into consideration as we try to move forward. I feel that you all are going to talk, and in speaking with the pastor, he's been just honorable and open, and I personally appreciate that, and would make ask you all to make sure that you all negotiate with in good faith with her. But I strongly suggest taking a look while you can to acquire what it is, because who knows, it may end up being a youth playground. You may already have that in your makings, but maybe it could be something else versus what possibly or potentially could go there. So that's a lot of rambling, but I tried to say a lot so we kind of understand that we need to do something about it and do something while everybody's at peace and everybody are friends, okay? Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kerwin, Mr. Atkins.
Again, Linda, thank you for you to save this to this afternoon agenda so everyone can hear exactly what's going on both sides. Teresa, can you come forward, please? And I think it's a good conversation when you communicate on both sides. And sometimes when you mediate and try to mediate, you don't come to the same conclusion. If this do come back to CPC, when do you expect this come back to CPC?
We're probably at least 2 months away from that.
Okay. And the reason why I say that, you know, there are 60 days at a time to air this out, and we can find out what the end result is going to be at the end of the story. So, Ms. Johnson, you do have 2 months, and we see that the church and you are sitting down and trying to come up with a solution. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Hearing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you very much.
Meeting is adjourned, 3:46 p.m.